News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The 42-day shutdown affecting the Department of Homeland Security may be nearing an end. Senators approved funding for TSA and most other agencies except ICE. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer blamed Republicans for TSA workers not getting paid.
This long overdue agreement funds TSA, the Coast Guard, FEMA, CISA, strengthens security at the border and the ports of entry, and keeps Americans safe. This could have been accomplished weeks ago if Republicans hadn't stood in the way.
But Majority Leader John Thune says it was the Democrats who are to blame.
We are here because thanks to Democrats' determined refusal to reach an agreement, there will be no Homeland Security funding bill this year. Instead, just a few minutes ago, Republicans funded the Department of Homeland Security piecemeal. It's not the way to fund the department.
The measure now goes to the House for consideration. Israel has launched more strikes on Iran's capital and says its attacks will escalate and expand.
Israel's military says it's conducted a wave of strikes in the heart of Tehran, while smoke was seen billowing in the Beirut skyline after President Donald Trump delayed his threat to hit Iran's energy plants over the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Israel has moved thousands of troops across the border into Lebanon, where Israeli officials say they want to take control of the entire area. I'm Charles de Lesma.
Group of seven foreign ministers have met in France to discuss the Russia-Ukraine conflict, with deep divisions apparent over the U.S.-Israeli war with Iran. Secretary of State Rubio joined his G7 counterparts there today, just 24 hours after the president's latest round of insults aimed at NATO. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A sacred season is approaching, a time to remember God's deliverance, the night he brought his people out of bondage and into freedom. Of course, I'm talking about Passover. Hi, it's Chris Stigall. And this year, many of God's people will observe Passover under the shadow of war. Across Israel, red alert sirens pierce the air, and families are rushing to shelters with seconds to spare. The elderly fear they'll be left behind. Parents hold frightened children as explosions shake the night, sleepless and uncertainty. That's now part of their daily lives. But Passover reminds us that God hears the cries of his people and answers with love and compassion. That's why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground in Israel, providing food and emergency supplies, equipping bomb shelters, and caring for the elderly and Holocaust survivors, bringing comfort and safety to God's children. Join Christians around the world in praying for Israel during this sacred Passover season, asking God to bring protection, comfort, and peace to the Holy Land. Visit supportifcj.org. That's supportifcj.org.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Anthony Brown says the verdicts against Meta and YouTube are landmark moments in the fight to protect children from social media platforms that are designed to exploit them. Juries in New Mexico and Los Angeles determined this week that the companies are guilty of making addictive and unsafe social media platforms. Brown says the verdicts are long overdue reckoning for an industry that has spent years exploiting the vulnerabilities of children while telling parents there was nothing to worry about. Maryland is part of similar multi-state federal litigation against Meta. No Kings demonstrators in Baltimore County are planning to line up along York Road on Saturday afternoon to protest President Trump and his administration. According to Indivisible Baltimore County, those attending the York Road Free Speech Miles will be displaying banners, signs, and flags from noon until 1:30. Stein on Sports has the details and the Fox 45 weather forecast next.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. For years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. Now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. During fall weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather is changing, and now's the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404, 410-876-9404, or timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
One down, 161 to go.
Alexander punches it up the middle for a base hit. O'Neill rounds third to score. And Blaze Alexander's first Oriole hit brings in a run to make it 2-0.
There we go.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson. Welcome to Baltimore, Blaze Alexander. His single, the difference in the game, as the Orioles and Trevor Rogers win a pitcher's duel on opening day. 2-1 the final at Camden Yards. After the game, Alexander on the at-bat that won it for Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, I made a mid-game adjustment, you know, early in the game, late kicking, and I'm an athlete, so if I'm getting beat on that, I'm going to get my foot down and I'm going to battle. I'm going to put a ball in play.
Meanwhile, Kobe Mayo, the defensive hero at third base, turning a pair of 5-4-3 double plays.
First one's always probably the toughest, especially that one.
Diving to his left, spinning around and firing to second. Birds turning three DPs in all. Couple sidebars here. Tyler O'Neill's MLB record streak of six consecutive opening days with home runs came to an end yesterday. And Jesse Minter was a hit as the guest splasher out in the birdbath. Zay Flowers was on the field in pregame as well. Speaking of the Ravens, they're still working, looking to solve their defensive issues, bring lineman DJ Reader in for a visit yesterday. Reader started every game for the Lions last season, previously playing for the Bengals and the Texans. Coming up in 30 minutes, another historic night for Alex Ovechkin. And that is Stein on Sports.
The moment you arrive at Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville, the aroma alone will have your mouth watering. Freshly roasted pork, daily caught seafood, and homemade desserts that taste just like mom made. You'll find everything you need to prepare a great holiday feast all in one stop. And don't miss Twin Brooks Furniture for incredible ideas at unbeatable value. Open Thursdays and Fridays, 9 to 6, and Saturdays, 8 to 4. Start a new holiday tradition with your family at Pennsylvania Dutch Market on York Road in Cockeysville.
WCBM News Time 907. Here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a wet day ahead of us with steady rain at times, even some rumbles of thunder. Temperatures will be falling from the 50s back into the 40s later today. Rain should move out tonight, but at that point, even colder with lows near freezing. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
51 degrees in Westminster, 59 in Easton, and 54 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday. Man, oh man, we got lots to talk about today. And I will say, you know, the biggest topic happens to be Governor Wes Moore, but not just here in Maryland, all over the country. They're talking about Governor Wes Moore being booed at the Orioles game yesterday. Hopefully, you know, if you got out there to Camden Yards, hopefully you had a great time. I did get out there myself. It was a lot of fun. I was excited to be there. It's interesting because, of course, I had heels on. And you know what it is? I'm so spoiled. I'm so spoiled. Way back when I was married, way back when, we used to go to Oriole Park, and he had the, you know, the season tickets, and we always parked in parking lot A. So we never really had to walk very far. We would get out of the car, and our seats were, like, not even 100 feet away. Not even, right? So now I keep forgetting that I don't have parking lot A, and I'm not Mrs. Klasick, and I don't have all those perks. Anyway, so I wore my heels, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, now I've got to walk. Well, anyways, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad, but it was a sold-out opening day. It was beautiful weather, and it was actually, at some point, it was actually really hot, and I was sweating, and I was happy about that. I was excited. Because I've been so cold for so long, I was good with it. Oh, man. So, of course, you know, we saw where the Orioles did win. I guess the final was 2-1. And then after that, I had to bolt to Annapolis because we're going to talk about the big debate last night from the Anne Arundel County Republican Club. It was a well-attended event. I got the total number this morning. 317 people showed up last night to watch the Republican primary gubernatorial candidates kind of duke duke it out. Now, only five showed up. All were invited. You know, we'll get into the details on that one, and we'll talk more about, you know, who I felt really was a strong candidate. I will say all five candidates were all very strong, in my opinion. I liked all five candidates, but we'll get into those details. Also, I wanted to talk about the fact that at 2:20 a.m., yes, 2:20 a.m., the Senate did approve a package that would include some DHS funding, but there's a lot that goes with that. So we'll discuss what's been going on at Capitol Hill. Also, I thought Delegate Mark Fisher had a great floor speech yesterday in Annapolis. He said, quote, "The state is effectively bankrupt." He is absolutely correct about that, and we'll get into some of his comments in the next hour. It is unfortunate, but that is what's the case. You know, we're bankrupt. We no longer have our Moody's rating. We no longer have any money in the bank. There was a surplus not there. Nobody could tell us where that surplus went off to, not even the comptroller. That's another topic today. And look, I'm going to keep harping on this because and some people might say, Kim, wow, you talk a lot about the comptroller, Brooke Learman, and you don't really hear a lot of people talking about the comptroller. But I just want to remind people, we went from Peter Francho to this activist, okay? And it's not like Peter Francho, a Democrat, but Peter Francho at least knew how to count money, right? It's like, he at least could keep track of the money. We didn't have these scathing audits coming out when Peter Francho was the comptroller. I just want to make sure people remember this, right? Peter Francho, I thought, was a very good gubernatorial candidate on the left. But of course, at that time, you know, everybody's talking about these progressive, you know, topics, the environment, you know, climate change, all this other stuff. And Peter Francho is more of a, you know, old school kind of moderate Democrat, not too moderate, mostly moderate. And so he didn't win. He did not win, but he should have. He should have won the Democrat primary. And even if Dan Cox would have lost to Peter Francho, we would still at least have Peter Francho. You know what I mean? Like, the bridge would be worked on. We wouldn't have all these scathing audits. We wouldn't be essentially bankrupt. Like, you know, after Governor Larry Hogan left, and yes, we had the COVID relief money, and even Senator Justin Reedy pointed out that COVID relief money, yes, it didn't really go towards the structural deficit, but at the same time, it was money in the bank. And so all you really needed at that point was a governor to come in and just cut spending. We would have been in the green. I mean, it really, seriously. And unfortunately, that's not what happened. Unfortunately, we ended up with a governor that was like, oh, I'm going to blow through the surplus. I'm not going to cut any spending. I'm not going to make my Democrat colleagues in Annapolis, I'm not going to make them cut any spending. We're just going to go balls to the walls, as they say, as kids. And we're just going to do whatever we want to do. That's what we're going to do. And that's what happened. And so now we're looking at even more than a $1.5 billion deficit. Not to mention, we're still talking about the fact that the Francis Scott Key Bridge, there's no work being on it at all. I mean, we saw a tractor at the port, which is, again, I still keep going back to that in my mind. Why was there a tractor at the port? Why? Out of all the things that Governor Westmore could have pointed to say that work's being done, like, you couldn't even have gotten in one of the cranes that was at least lifting some of the beams in the water. You got a tractor and just drove it down the side of the port. I don't know. I still don't understand that one. Maybe if he would have left, maybe lifting a shipping container or something, like just something that goes along with it. You know what I mean? Like the tractor thing, I was like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are we doing? Anyways, we'll talk about all that. I also want to talk about the Baltimore IG report. It outlines some very unprofessional behavior in City Hall. Look, I already imagined the mayor's office was being run, you know, in a very ghetto manner. I already imagined that. I guess I didn't think about how ghetto it could possibly be. But now with this new IG report that is dropped, you're now seeing some very unprofessional emails going back and forth amongst colleagues. And so, you know, usually in the professional world, in the corporate world, if you're having a problem or if you're trying to reiterate something, you get the point across, you say, you know, please see my previous email as I forward this to you. And, you know, you use some type of language that's more in the corporate world. Not at City Hall in Baltimore. No, you talk about dragon girls. You want to choke a broad out. Isn't that one of the, I want to choke this broad out. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. crazy. Like I said, I knew it was ghetto over there. I just didn't know it was this ghetto. I'll share that audio with you. Because, you know, if anything, you'll get a good kick out of it. Unless you're like the rest of us, that it's a taxpayer that thinks, wow, this is what my money's going towards. These people, by the way, in City Hall in Baltimore, they're making big salaries. Many of them are making six figures. Wait till you hear how they speak to one another, making six figures. All right, we'll get into that. Also, Nancy Guthrie, do you remember that name? Does that ring a bell? Nancy Guthrie, still missing, Savannah Guthrie's mother. But Savannah Guthrie actually sat down with the Today Show, and she did discuss some of the early days of the investigation. Now, I know many of you were tired of hearing about Nancy Guthrie. And I just wanted to say, for those of you that were tired of, with it, I understand it. But you know what? This woman's still missing. All right? The woman is still missing. They still have no idea in 2026 where a celebrity's mom is. I find this insane. I find it insane. With all the technology, we talk about Big Brother all the time. We talk about how the government's watching your every move and Google can do this and Meta can do that. Well, why can't they find Nancy Guthrie? And Nancy Guthrie, by the way, was on social media. She was posting often about how much she hated President Trump, if you didn't know him already. The fact that they can't find her is bizarre. But anyways, we're going to get into just some of the things that Savannah had to say in the 11 o'clock hour, because some of these things we didn't know already, number one. And number two, it still sounds to me that the early days of this investigation were completely botched. And right now, there's really no way around that. And it really sounds like the sheriff, the local police, the detectives, it sounds like they didn't take this very seriously in like the first 72 hours. And I guess in the first 72 hours, that's where you're really getting your leads. And that's that time frame that you really got to, you know, bog down on these things and go after these clues. Well, it sounds like to me, and you'll hear it, like I said, in the 11 o'clock hour from Savannah herself, it sounds like they didn't do that. It sounds like this case was handed over to the police, right? The detectives. And it sounds like they were like, well, we'll get it. You know, she'll come home. That's what it sounds like. So I'm sure she's probably very upset with the way this has been handled, but we'll get into all that. All right, first and foremost, go ahead and write my number down, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, because I want you to weigh in on this one. Governor Westmore booed at the Orioles game. It's a blue state. So they tell us. No, it is. It's a blue state. And yet, Governor Moore, and look, I don't take glee in this, even though if you're watching the live, I'm smiling. I don't take glee in this, but what I will say is this gives so much hope to our Republican gubernatorial candidates. It's a very short clip. You got to listen very carefully here. This is Fox 45 captured this. But go ahead and take a listen. When Governor Westmore was introduced, and by the way, don't forget, Brooke Learman, the comptroller, she was introduced at the same time, standing right next to him. Take a listen. And there you have it. And there you have it. Much more boos than applause. Okay? Meanwhile, these clips of him being booed were posted on social media. People were commenting, and I pay attention closely to Instagram. If you're wondering why, I'll tell you why. On X, yes, there's a lot of people that rightfully call Governor Westmore out for his shenanigans, okay? But on X, people are more dialed in, right? Because they're getting the news, their feet, you know, that's basically where you get a lot of your news articles, your headlines, things like that. So there are a lot of people on X that know what Governor Westmore is doing or not doing on a daily basis. They're more dialed in on the X app, right? On Facebook, they're kind of somewhat dialed in, but they're also talking about their grandkids and sharing pictures of all the family reunions and stuff, right? So they're dialed in. Yeah, they're getting news. But on Instagram, this is where I always look, because on Instagram, if you go to Governor Westmore's Instagram page, he has glowing feedback, all these comments saying he's doing such a great job. On Instagram, for some reason, they're like in the twilight zone. And they act like he's the best governor ever, Okay. Well, I always pay attention to Instagram when they talk about Governor Moore because I feel like I'm getting really a good picture of what's going on in the very blue circles, right? This is the progressive Democrat type of ring. This is, you know, they're paying attention, but not really. They love the fact that he's a black governor. They love the fact that he's the first black governor of Maryland. They're often talking about, you know, race people being racist towards him. And it's like, dude, wake up. Wake up. So, like, Instagram's got to wake up, but you know that they're not going to. They're on Instagram because they like to look at pictures and videos, okay? So that tells you about the people on Instagram. Not to say that Instagram's a bad place or anything like that, but if they're solely on Instagram, they're not really dialed in. Anyways, I was looking at the comments on Instagram, and on Fox 45's post of the booing, there were Democrats, black Democrats, say that Governor Wes Moore deserved every single boo. They said that he deserved it. And this is where I think that things are starting to really be lit up in a way where I'm like, okay, well, now this is different. Before, there were black Democrats on Fox 45's pages saying, oh, stop attacking Governor Wes Moore. You're attacking him because he's black. That tide has shifted. It's no longer what we used to see not even 6 months ago. So we'll talk about that in just a second. Right now, we got to see what's going on the market front because, of course, that's on the national front and somewhat international front. We got our friend Tim Herb every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's Friday morning, so we've got Tim Herb with RBC Wealth Management with the Morning Market Flash. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. Happy rainy Friday, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, Tim, it was beautiful yesterday. I went out to opening day. I did go out there. And then here today, it's just miserable.
How was the game yesterday? Good?
It was good. It was good. It was, you know, we won, so that was great. But it was a little, I'm not going to lie, it was a little on the boring side for a few innings there.
That's what I understand. I talked to a colleague of mine who said it was a pitcher's duel, and for those that are looking for action, it probably wasn't the right game to attend. I think it ended up in like a 2-1 victory for the Orioles, as you mentioned. But yeah, probably 2-1 game, not a lot of action, Kim. So if you're going there for the excitement opening day, you know, hopefully you were able to socialize a little bit to distract you from the actual game itself, right? But
yeah.
Good day all around. Glad you guys had a fun time and good weather. And, of course, hopefully we get, you know, getting that tug of war with weather just like we are with Iran and the U.S. That's kind of what's driving the market here today. Just to kind of get right to it, Kim, as far as the economy and what's going on yesterday in the markets on Thursday, markets kind of gave back some of the gains. They reversed action to end near session lows yesterday on Thursday. We had some kind of momentum and growth factors, Kim, kind of under pressure overall in the economy. Some of those value-added blue-chip stocks actually held up somewhat better, but they were still somewhat lower as well. Overall, the Dow was down over 1% yesterday, Kim. S&P down about 1.74%. NASDAQ off over 2.4%. And the Russell 2000, even the small cap names, which typically have kind of zigged when, you know, the other larger indices have zagged, so to speak. And the Russell 2000 also was down, Kim, yesterday, down 1.7%. One of the big things yesterday, I think it was a drag on the NASDAQ, which is a heavily technology-based index, of course, was Meta, the parent company to Facebook, under some pressure, again, because of the legal headlines right now in that, you know, that first lawsuit involving the company. We also had some other areas beyond technology that were not performing very well also yesterday, although we did have some better areas. Energy was a particular area. Even some of the finance companies kind of helping lift the markets, although the markets, again, finishing in negative territory yesterday. West Texas Intermediate crude oil did end up about 4.6% yesterday. But here we are today. Again, S&P 500 futures are trading marginally below the levels that we saw even earlier this morning. Right now, again, we saw kind of a negative session overseas in Europe here earlier this morning. But right now, we're seeing the Dow off 272 points. That's even after President Trump, Kim, and you probably are talking about this on your show, has elected or decided to extend the Iran negotiations deadline. We thought that would lift the markets and we'd kind of get a little bit of a reprieve or a bounce back here Friday morning. We're not seeing it yet, unfortunately. So the Dow futures are off. S&P 500 futures, Kim, down 41 points. And then, of course, the heavily technology-based NASDAQ index also in the red, down currently 201 points. So, you know, this volatility here today is coming really after a negative day yesterday on Thursday, and we're officially seeing from a technical standpoint, Kim, the NASDAQ composite falling into now correction territory. What leads you to believe that we're in a correction is when you see a market or an index, Kim, decline 10%. Right, or more. And now officially the NASDAQ has declined more than 10% from the record level that it set several months ago at the end of last year, 2025, back in October. And the Dow is also now nearing correction territory. It's down more than 9% from its all-time high. And the S&P also, Kim, S&P 500 is around 7% below its record high. So even though, again, President Donald Trump extending this deadline on the attacks, I guess you could say, on the energy infrastructure overseas in Iran, still causing volatility here this morning. So hopefully we get some good weather this weekend, Kim. Markets will bounce back. Hopefully today we'll wait and see how things play out. And then I look forward to rejoining you on Friday, next Monday morning.
Thanks, Tim.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shira Youssefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shira Youssefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shira Youssefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shira Youssefi. Treasurer Andrew Horvath.
The Sean Hannity Show.
For anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
All right, we're talking about Governor Westmore and the fact that he was booed heavily at the Orioles opening day. Like, he couldn't even get one game in, right? Because what's the next game's tomorrow? They couldn't wait to boo him. Like, getting booed on opening day with a sold-out crowd in your own state, that's tough. That's tough. Like, think about it. Even the Army-Navy game, everybody, we were all wondering if Trump was going to get booed. He did not receive boos. He was applauded. And he was here in town. He was in Maryland. And here you have Governor Westmore that was booed on opening day. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBO-680, 410-922-6680. As I say it before the break, and I go back to why I think this all happened, okay? Because when you're looking on Instagram and you're looking at the comments of black Democrats that have, like, pictures of Westmore from way back when, they've got pictures of Kamala Harris on their page, when they are leaving comments saying, my vehicle registration is through the roof, he deserves every boo, that is what's telling you what is to come here in November. And like I said, this is great news for Republicans. What they're essentially saying is they're ready for somebody else. There were even comments saying, bring back Larry Hogan. They were saying, bring back Larry Hogan. Now, I don't want to see that happen. It's not going to happen, right? He didn't file. But at the same time, they're asking for a Republican. Black Democrats in Maryland, many of them in PG County, are asking for a Republican. So that brings me also to the point of the big event, the debate last night in Anne Arundel County. It was in Annapolis. It was a beautiful event. As I mentioned, 317 people total in the door. We were given that number this morning, and it was. It was a packed house. I think there was standing room in the back, but there were so many seats. And it was well done. The audio, everything was well done. And these are things that I pay attention to. So myself, Tori Snow, and Eurypsy Morgan, we were moderators, and then Chris Papps with Fox 45's Project Baltimore, he was the MC. And you know what? There were a couple questions about the blueprint for education and about the school system in general. And I could see every time they would talk about it, I would look over at Chris Papps and I could see, like, his face light up. Like, like that that's what he wants to hear about, is like the next governor possibly taking the school system and the education system in general very seriously. Because right now we don't have a governor that's doing that. All right. So I want to talk about some of the questions that were asked last night, some of the answers that I heard. I will give you a list of the gubernatorial candidates that were there last night as well. If you were there and you want to weigh in with what you believe, you know, could have possibly been the winner of the night, or if you want to weigh in on what you thought was a great question and a great answer from one of the gubernatorial candidates, just call me. Let me know. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I do believe that we've got strong candidates, and I thought last night really truly showed that. And if there is an appetite for a Republican governor here in the state of Maryland like we now see, we've got a shot. We absolutely have a shot. We'll talk more about that when we get back. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Congress is moving closer to reopening parts of the Department of Homeland Security with funding. The weeks-long budget impasse has meant TSA and other federal workers have gone without pay. The Senate voted overnight to restore most DHS funding except for immigration enforcement. It now goes to the House. Air raid sirens sounded in Israel early today as the military said it was working to intercept Iranian missiles. Iran also kept up its attacks on Gulf Arab neighbors. A federal judge has ruled in favor of AI company Anthropic in temporarily blocking the Pentagon from labeling the company as a supply chain risk. The judge said the broad punitive measures taken against the Anthropic by the Trump administration appeared to be arbitrary. Stock futures have been pointing down all morning. This is SRN News.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. PureTalk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. PureTalk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. PureTalk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with PureTalk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial #250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
So how did manager Craig Albernaz celebrate his first win in an Oriole uniform? Well, the players made sure it was a soaker.
It was fun. Tyler Wells came in. Yes. How big of a vibes guy are you? I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm always down for the boys, so next thing I know, I'm thrown into the laundry car, going into the shower, getting dosed. So it was a great time.
For his part, the polar bear said it had to be done.
It's a first. You have to celebrate. You have to celebrate first. You have to celebrate big moments. And for him to get his first win with this group, it's really special.
The 2-1 win for Baltimore featured another stellar performance from Trevor Rogers.
Hey now.
Swing and a miss. He carved him up with a curve, and Rogers has a big strikeout.
Oh, he needed that one too.
Rogers leaves it loaded.
Kevin Brown and Big Ben had the call on Masson. Rogers goes 7 shutout for the Birds, 3 hits, 4 walks. Meanwhile, on the ice last night in Utah, another big night for the Grady.
Ovechkin behind the defense towards the empty goal. Yes, sir! Alexander Ovechkin, career hat trick number 34.
Joe B. had the call on Monumental. The empty netter was the cherry on top for Alex Ovechkin. Caps beat the Mammoth in Utah 7-4, the final. Ovi setting an NHL record with a hat trick against his 21st different team. Coming up in 30 minutes, Hell's Bells chime at Camden Yards. And that is Stein on Sports.
Hey, you guys, listen up.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. Last year sold out fast. If you missed it, here's your chance. The second annual WCBM Pints and Politics, Thursday, April 23rd from 5 to 7 p.m. at Michael's Cafe and Timonium. I'll be hosting a live, unscripted fireside conversation with a special guest. No script, no spin, just a straight conversation about what is really happening right now. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Tickets are just $25 and include light hors d'oeuvres and your WCBM pint glass. Seating is limited. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at WCBM.com, and I will see you there.
Your Fox 25 forecast, a very rainy start to the day. We've actually got on and off showers throughout the day today with dropping temperatures. Temperatures will fall from the 60s to the 50s, eventually back into the 40s by tonight. Tonight turns drier with that rain moving out, but much colder with lows near freezing. And Saturday is going to be sunny, but breezy and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Car crash? Slip and fall? Workplace injury? Serious injuries mean serious bills. Before you talk to the insurance company, talk to me. I'm the Ouch Guy. I know Maryland law, and I know how to win. Call 877-OUCH-911. Ouch Guy is Baltimore strong. Ouch Guy is Yehoshua Beer.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturdays at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
From Annapolis to Catonsville, from Dundalk to Reisterstown, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk a little bit about the big debate last night. Again, you know, if you want to weigh in on Governor Wes Moore, what that means, and you know what, I'll take a quick look here at the text messages as well. But I do believe that the fact that Governor Moore was booed at the Orioles game yesterday is a great sign for Republicans. Those were Democrats at that stadium, okay? Now, I know there were some people trying to spin it on X. I noticed, you know, some of the Governor Wes Moore supporters, they were like, well, it's a bunch of white people there, and they're racist, or it's a bunch of Republicans. No, not really. Not really. I was there. I was there. There were lots of liberals. I was there. Okay. And then I also wanted to know, you know who I saw, Brian, the producer? I saw producer. I saw JB, the Ouch Guy. I didn't even get a chance to really say hi. I saw him quickly because you know what? I'll give you guys a little secret. I'll give you a tip here. Okay. Go ahead. Jot this down. You're going to want to remember. You'll probably remember anyway. If you're looking for a hot dog, see, this is how I ended up missing all the booing in person. I was in the hot dog line, okay? Now, I love hot dogs. I can't even lie. I love hot dogs. And yesterday I only had mustard on my hot dog. But if I could, I would have mustard, onions, and relish, just so you know. If you ever wanted to pass me a hot dog, yeah, just so you know, that's how I would have it. Now, I'm not a ketchup fan. Never been a ketchup fan. I don't know what it is about ketchup. I'm not into it. Well, anyway, so I'm there. And of course, we're looking at all the hot dog lines. And then you can see that some of the hot dog lines were so long. Well, guess what? Guess which line is not long? You guys listening to me. And the hot dogs still are delicious. The kosher hot dog line. All right? Not really a line. Not really a line. Not really a line. And they keep it moving. They're so good with it, too. So the guy that's, like, behind the counter, like, could they have, like, a little, you know, the little cart on the side. The guy comes around from the side of the cart, and he's like, hey, what you need? Hey, what you want? And then you tell him what you want. And then he goes back, and he relays the message. So by the time you get up there, and it's not that big of a line, you get up there, you pay, you grab your dog and go, because they already have it waiting. It's so good. And I'm like, and it tastes just like a regular hot dog. It's a kosher hot dog, okay? It's a regular hot dog. So anyways, that's my secret. Don't tell everybody. But if you want to get a hot dog quickly, you can go right in the kosher line. Well, anyways, as I was in that line, you know who was leaving the line? JB the Ouch Guy. He was leaving the line. And I saw him with I think it was most likely his son. And I was trying to say hi, but he was already gone. And it was so crowded. You couldn't hear anything in there. But anyways, JB, if you're listening, I saw you yesterday. And he has a custom-made Orioles jersey, by the way. It says the Ouch Guy on the back. And then it has, like, it looks like a regular jersey. But then he has, like, the Maryland flag with, like, the Oriole bird in the middle of it. And so it's got, like, and then the colors are, like, the fatigue, like, the camouflage. I thought it was pretty nice. It was pretty nice. Anyways, I just wanted to note, and I also wanted to give you guys that scoop. If you're looking for a good hot dog and you don't want to stand in line, the kosher hot dog line, again, it's not like at a regular counter. Okay, it's like one of those carts. You know how you see the beer carts on the side? And I was over there by section, what was that? Section 68. Yep, and we had good seats, actually. Section 68, row 3. We're right there at the field. But right over there, you'll see the kosher hot dog stand. And there's literally, at any point in time, only like 10 people standing there. And the dogs are good. The dogs are good. Anyways, I do have some text messages coming in I wanted to read. Let's see. Mike says, I wonder where Terrell is this morning on Governor Westmore being booed. Well, Terrell, you know, he's already used his phone call for the week. That's why when he calls in on Monday, I know, I get a little upset, too, because we have so much to talk about throughout the week. But, you know, we do, just so you guys know, if you call in, it's usually like one call per week. And so that's why you don't hear him today. Let's see. John in Baltimore says, Kim, people I talk to in Baltimore that are black seem to have turned on Governor Westmore more so because of his stance on the reparations bill. Not so much of the other issues. A good bit of them have said that the governor has let them down when it came to reparations. You know what, John? And again, thank you, John, for your service. You know what? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If they're upset about the reparations bill, meanwhile, how silly is that one, right? The reparations commission, it's just a study. It's just a study. So they're upset that the study isn't happening. We've had millions of studies since, you know, the beginning of time. And it's like, it always says the same thing. We can't afford it. You don't know how to do it. You can't really, who's going to dish it out? Who's going to receive it? It's so stupid. We've had so many stupid studies on this thing. And then meanwhile, if they're mad about the studies, let them be mad. You guys, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Because I guarantee you, John, some of those people thought that that bill meant that they were going to receive reparations. I guarantee it. Ugh. Do you know what? People, they really just don't pay attention. Let's see. George says, Kim, Westmore is so tone deaf and self-absorbed. Surely what he heard at the game was resounding cheers instead of boos. Yeah, he heard, let's go Brandon, right? No, I will say, look, guys, I will say he was embarrassed. You could see it on his face. He was shocked. If you go back and watch the clip, that's why I point to the Fox 45 clip. It's the smaller clip that they have on social media, right? Because, of course, they have a larger one on their website. But on their social media pages, like on Facebook and X and Instagram, they have a very short clip. That's the one that we played here. Not even 12 seconds long. But it has a very close-up shot of both his face and the face of our comptroller, Brooke Learman. Brooke Learman was borderline mortified. Okay. She actually put her head down. So they booed, you know, as they were calling out his name. They actually introduced her at the same time. She tried to laugh it off, and then she just looked down to the ground. You could tell that she was mortified. With Governor Moore, you could tell that he was shocked, number one, and then he also tried to chuckle it off. But they heard it loud and clear. And then the guys that were standing up there with them, I don't know who they were. I know there was the announcer up there, and then there was another guy standing next to them. You could tell the guy standing next to Governor Moore, he's clapping as they're calling Governor Moore's name. And then you could see his surprised look on his face, and he's kind of looking out to the crowd like, oh, wow, they're booing. Right? So he had to then digest it as well. So there was like this moment of shock for everybody that was standing up there. But George, yes, he is very arrogant and very full of himself. I agree with that part for sure. Let's see. Linda says, Kim, don't know anything about House Bill 649. All right, Linda, we'll come back to the House bills. In the next hour, we'll definitely talk more about what's going on in Annapolis. Let's see. Robert says, good morning, Kim. You know, I actually thought Jimmy Kimmel was funny with that, and he probably could have gotten away with it. Okay, you're talking about the Mark Wayne Mullen thing. Oh, is that what? Okay. So that was what they were talking about, Casey and company. We'll come back to that one, Robert, as well, because that was rude, what Jimmy Kimmel did in regards to Mark Wayne Mullen being a plumber. And apparently, according to Jimmy Kimmel, AOC being a bartender, that's just fine. Mark Wayne Mullen being a plumber, apparently that was a problem for Jimmy. But we will get into that, Robert. Thank you so much. Look, here's again what I will say about this. There's obviously a chance. There's a chance for Republicans, and I like what I see. And so last night, you know, this is me arriving to the debate last night after the game. Meanwhile, it was such a serious debate. I didn't want to bring up the booing at the debate. Like, there was a time where we were, of course, you know, you go down the line, and there's three of us moderators, and we were asking, you know, the candidates questions. But it was so serious, I didn't want to, because you know me, I can be silly at times. And sometimes if things are really serious, I always, like, crack a joke, only because I hate how tense things are. Well, last night, you know, when you've got Tori Snow and Euripsy Morgan, they're both very serious, okay? Extremely serious, in case you didn't know. And so they were sitting there, and the vibe at the debate was, this is just as serious as if it was on Fox News, and it was a presidential debate. And so I'm looking around, and I, like, every once in a while, I can glance over at Chris Pass, because he's kind of sort of in front of me. So every once in a while, I could glance over his way, and you could see him. He was just kind of like, you know, because I didn't think it was going to be so serious, so tense. But it probably is for a good reason, right? This could, you know, the people on the stage could have been, you know, they could be our next governor. So I did not crack any jokes. I wasn't my usual class clown self. I just kept it all inside, so I didn't mention the booing, but I wanted to. Again, it was a 2026 Maryland Republican gubernatorial primary debate on all the issues. And I thought, like I said, the Anne Arundel County Club, I thought they did a great job. Now, on the flyer, you know, because I was kind of looking, it had like District 32 Republican Club, North County Republican Club, Severna Park Republican Women. You could see there's many different clubs, RWAAC, the Maryland YRs, that's the Young Republicans, the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Purpose Forum. So all of these groups came together to put on this debate. Like I said, it was well done. Well done. Bruce, James, you guys, great job. Great job, Lisa. Such a great event. But there were a few people that did not show up. Now, Carl Brunner, invited to the event. Carl Brunner Jr. did not show up. I still have no idea who this guy is. Never heard of him, never seen him, nothing. Did not show up last night. Dan Cox did not show up. Now, we were told we got there, because I was always, I always thought that he was. I was assuming that he was going to be there. But we were told that he did not feel well. And so that's why he didn't show up. Douglas Larcom, he was there. Michael Oakes, there. Shannon Wright, there. L.D. Birkendine, there. Ed Hale Sr., not there. Now, I knew that Ed Hale was not going to be there because he sent me a text days before saying that he had a campaign, a prior engagement, and so he could not be there. And then I said, okay, well, you know, I think we already knew going in that there was no way that Ed Hill was going to be able to make it there in time. So he was not there. John Myrick, yes, there. Nancy Jane Taylor, not there. And I have no idea who she is, just like I have no idea who Carl Brunner Jr. is. So the questions, like I said, well thought out. Many of them had to do with illegal immigration, the budget, the education system. And even when it came to the economy, how to get, you know, the questions were surrounding how to get businesses to stay. You know, what do you do to stop, you know, the population from dwindling? You know, there were all these questions, and I thought they all did a great job answering them. What I will say is this, and if you were there last night and you want to weigh in, or if you have a question, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I thought John Myrick, this is just my personal opinion, I thought John Myrick did a great job answering all the questions that he had. I do. And, you know, he even talked about in his opening statement how he and his running mate, Brendan Schaub, who we've had on this show twice now, and we've had John Myrick on, I think, at least three times, he said that they have been to, at this point in time, over 500 events across the state of Maryland, excuse me. And they've been to every jurisdiction multiple times. And they are everywhere. And that is true. That is absolutely true. There hasn't been an event that I have been to in the past year where I didn't see at least either John or Brenda. And they do that, right? They'll split up. So if there's more than one event in the night, they'll both be at the, you know, different events. They are all over the place from the Eastern Shore down to, you know, the southern parts of St. Mary's County. And so he did bring that up in his opening statement. And I thought that that was impactful because there wasn't any other candidate on that stage that could say the same. Not even close. And I think this is also going to be an issue for Ed Hale Sr. Now, Ed Hale Sr. does poll very well amongst Republicans. But if you aren't hitting the ground in all of these jurisdictions, if you're not building that relationship with down-ballot candidates, I don't know how you do this. Maryland, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you're looking at the country, it looks like, of course, a very small state. But when you are running for governor or a statewide seat, it's a large state, and you've got to be everywhere. And so John Myrick, I thought he did a great job bringing that up. I thought, like I said, he answered the questions very well. But he's, you know, at this point, he's you know, well rehearsed, I guess you could say, because when he goes to these events and he gives all these speeches or he's here on the show, he's already answering these questions every day. So it was smooth. It was seamless. And I think he did a great job. If I were to imagine John Myrick on a stage with Wes Moore, even last night with John Myrick's performance, I think he would have beat Wes Moore. I do. And I think he was very, like, his responses were very coherent. Each candidate, by the way, had 90 seconds to respond to the questions. John Myrick was so good, he never had the buzzer going over him. And yet he still used all of the 90 seconds. But he tied it up with the bow before the buzzer every time. And so then you had, you know, other candidates that were being, you know, buzzed over. You know, they weren't paying attention to the clock at all. They didn't, you know, they didn't tie anything up with the bow. And so with that, and these are things that are easy to fix, but you've got to be able to do that. Because if you are the nominee, when you go to debate Governor Wes Moore, it's going to be the same format and the same exact thing that you had there last night. You got to be able to get your response out coherently, and it's got to make sense, and you got to be able to wrap it up with the bow so that people aren't, they're not thinking about you being buzzed over. They're thinking about your response. So you got to clean it up. Now, I thought, you know, and this is the first time I ever met Douglas Larcom. I thought he did a great job. You know what I will say, and I know this sounds kind of biased, and you know, take it for what it is, be mad at me, hate me. But when you're looking at a stage like this and you've got all these different candidates, I will say height matters. I didn't think about that before as much as I thought about it last night. Douglas Larcom, much taller than the rest. And for me, and he had the middle seat, by the way. So he had the middle seat, much taller. I don't know, for some reason, to me, if you're looking at the stage, he stood out much more than anybody else. Like, you know, when it comes to stage presence, I would say no, you know, the close second would be John Myrick. And that was another thing. When you're up there, stage presence also matters. So if you're answering questions and you're looking down at the ground, or you're not looking out to the audience, or you're not standing up out of your chair when it's time for you to speak, all of these things matter. You got to do them. You know, whether you feel like it or not. So anyways, I thought Douglas Larcom, stage presence, I thought he had it. L.D. Birkendine, first time I seen him, I thought he did a great job in a way where he is a businessman, and I felt like he was able to pull from lots of experience. That's what I liked about him. Now, when you have Michael Oakes, you know, could use a little more media training, a little more, you know, stage presence, but I think he was relatable because people felt as though that he was the average Joe, the average American, and he was speaking from experience with the bills, with, you know, what businesses could do to stay, you know, how he can do, you know. So he kind of said it in very plain terms. He wasn't using, you know, any kind of political speak, right? He didn't sound like a politician. And I think people like that. All right, we get back. I'll continue reading some of your text messages, and I'll kind of wrap this up with the debate last night. But again, it was very well done. To those in Anne Arundel County that hosted this Maryland Republican gubernatorial primary debate, you did a fantastic job, and you should really pat yourselves on the back. Stay right there.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The imminent threat was what Steve Witkoff had said, which is they're bragging about enriched uranium. So that brings us to the 15 points. Now, this has not been released publicly, And I don't know what's in the 15 points, but I can take a pretty good educated guess about what's in there. Now, we also learned something else in this conflict, that as per usual, international organizations, and I can't stand these globalist organizations, and in the case of the UN, the IAEA, you know, always underestimate what Iran's real capability is. In other words, the Iranians just flat out lie to them and convince them that their capability is far less than what it really is. And that's extremely frustrating to me. It drives me up a wall.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
All right, everybody cares about health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and so many of us are guessing our way through our health, guessing what foods to eat, what supplements to take, wondering why some things make us feel better than others. Now, that's where Viome comes in. It's a simple at-home gut health test that uses advanced RNA technology. It analyzes your gut microbiome to understand how your body is truly functioning in this moment. And from there, Viome then creates a personalized food and supplement plan designed specifically for your body. Right, Linda? You've been doing this.
I have been doing it, and the test is easy. It's got great steps. It walks you right through. It's easy to do. You can send it right in.
Take the guesswork out of it. Get real data. Go to Viome/Hannity. Viome.com/Hannity today. And when you follow their plan, you can expect better digestion, more energy, improved mood. Stop guessing. Start knowing.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk. Only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, Marty says yes, Kim. The guy that was standing next to Westmore, that's Derek Davis, and he is, in fact, our state treasurer. Thank you so much, Marty. I did not know that. I also went on Brooke Learman, as I noted earlier. I went on her Facebook page just to see if she's been posting anything of substance. No. No, she hasn't. Again, this is a state where we've had the worst audits, I think, probably in 30 years, even more, coming out in the past 6 months. She is the comptroller. Here's what she's been posting about lately. I go to her Facebook page. Of course, she was posting about the game yesterday. Now, I would expect that. She was on the field. I have no problem with that. She did like a little message from the field saying, go O's. I've got no problem with that. Okay? She also posted 2 days ago, Happy Maryland Day. I have no problem with that. Before that, she says, it was an honor to deliver the welcome remarks at the Athena Leadership Breakfast at Harford Community College. Okay, that's fine. Before that, thank you to the sisters of the Zeta Phi Beta sorority for inviting me to their state conference to share how our agency could partner with their efforts at MBE. And that's the minority business. What is that called? Minority business. What is the E for? I have to go look at it, but it is the minority business group. Before that, she's got the wonderful to celebrate Cherry Hill Leaders, SB7, Director Michael Middleton upon his retirement. Yes, she was given out a citation because Michael Middleton was retiring. Again, this is our comptroller. We're 6 days in now, all right, to Brooke Learby's Facebook page. She then has a post, a beautiful morning to lend a hand to Maryland's neighbors who are food insecure. Thank you to the Indian Cultural Association, everyone that came out to volunteer. If you want to volunteer, that's fine. That's fine. She also goes down, looks like some happy Ramadan, all this other stuff. The Maryland League of Conservation Voters, she was out there, you know, posting a video with them. March Madness, got to have a post about March Madness. This is what I'm talking about. This is madness, okay? This is madness. This is our comptroller's Facebook page. We are learning more and more about the fact that we are not being good stewards of the money here. And the comptroller is posting about her March Madness, you know, bracket. Okay? This is what grates my nerves. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these posts, but why aren't you also handling what's going on in regards to the audit? Anyway, so the next hour, we're going to talk more about Brooke Learman, because in case you missed it, the Maryland comptroller, Ms. Learman, she is not even tracking the amount of money going towards nonprofits in Maryland. She has no idea. This is how bad this woman is. We'll discuss more coming up next.
Joe Hartman of Perry Hall Investment Group. You have a house that you need to sell but not sure how to go about it. We're local and family operated. We bought hundreds of properties from people just like you. We pay top dollar, buy an as-is condition, and best of all, there are no closing costs or real estate commissions to pay. Our process is very simple. Let's chat over the phone for a few minutes about your property. We'll set up a time to take a look at it, and I'll make you a cash offer right on the spot. Easy as that. We take the inconveniences and the hassle out of the home selling process. Call me today, 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200. Housesforcashbaltimore.com. Go check us out now. We buy single-family homes, row homes, townhomes, multi-rentals, and land. It doesn't matter the condition or location. Call 410-989-5200 to receive your offer. I want to earn your trust and business, so don't delay. Call today.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Legislation to pay TSA workers is now heading to the House after being approved by the Senate overnight.
The Senate has approved Homeland Security funds that will pay TSA workers who haven't seen a paycheck in weeks. It also funds most other agencies, but not immigration enforcement. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said his party will continue to make sure that ICE doesn't get more funding without serious reform. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says it's the Democrats' fault there's no Homeland Security funding bill this year. The bill now goes to the House. Donna Water, Washington.
Air raid sirens sounded in Israel early today as the military said it was working to intercept Iranian missiles. Iran also kept up its attacks on Gulf Arab neighbors. Retired Army Colonel Robert McGinnis tells the Salem Radio Network that President Trump is negotiating with whom he believes to be the right leadership in Iran.
Now, the question is, will we come to know who those credible people are that has control over what IRGC and Baghi and other internal leadership and enforcement security forces, do they really influence that? Do they speak for them? Is there a unified government?
Correspondent Bernie Bennett has an update on the Republican push for the Senate to pass the Save America Act.
Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, have shown an interest in voter ID, which has grown in popularity among voters across the country. Still, Democrats blocked an amendment to the Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility, or Save America Act, from Ohio Republican Senator John Houston, meant to put them on record for that position. Schumer said ahead of the vote that, quote, Republicans are once again wasting time on voter suppression. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow is down more than 400 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health insurance alternative at half the cost. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. While insurance companies tell you when to join, what to pay, and where to go, CHM is different. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other Christians. You can enroll, switch programs, or leave at any time. Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a world of difference. CHM has four flexible programs. You can pick any certified doctor, surgeon, or hospital that you want for eligible care. So make the switch. Take your paycheck back from health insurance this year. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBN.
CBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. A Baltimore Circuit Court judge has ruled that a lawsuit against Glock filed by the city and the state of Maryland may proceed. The gun manufacturer had filed a motion to dismiss, but the judge denied the request, allowing the case to move into the discovery phase. The city and the state allege that Glock makes and sells guns that can be converted to fully automatic weapons with illegal auto sears. A second teenager charged with murdering a man found in a Columbia parking lot has been sentenced to life in prison with all but 30 years suspended. The 15-year-old and 19-year-old Tracy Parker each pleaded guilty to first-degree murder in the October 2024 death of Kendrick McClellan, who they were planning to rob. According to investigation, Parker and the teen shot and killed McClellan in Ellicott City, then took his body to the parking lot near Howard High School. Parker has already been sentenced to life with all but 45 years suspended. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Hope you like Hell's Bells, because you may be hearing a lot of it at Camden Yards.
Strike him out swinging. The Orioles unleash Helsley, and they win on opening day again. It's just what they do.
Kevin Brown with the call on Masson as new closer Ryan Helsley strikes out the side in the ninth. A resounding finish to a 2-1 opening day win for the Birds. Post-game reaction from manager Craig Albernaz.
A little different juice here. I think he popped that. It was a 102, was a 101.9 with like 20 inches of vert. It's a pretty good fastball. But yeah, that was the best we've seen. We've seen Helsley. He threw some really good splits too, so he's right where he needs to be.
Helsley saving the win for Trevor Rogers, who continued right where he left off in 2025. 7 innings of shutout ball, 3 hits, 4 walks. The Birds are off today. Kyle Bradish takes the hill tomorrow at 4:05 against Minnesota. NFL news, someone please tell Tom Brady to stop. The 49-year-old Fox broadcaster and Raiders minority owner telling CNBC yesterday that he inquired with the league about returning to the field. An NFL spokesperson said if Brady were to pursue a return to the league, he would first need to divest his ownership stake in the Raiders. And finally, a top 10 showdown today in Baltimore. Number 3 Maryland women's lacrosse heads to Homewood Field for a top 10 matchup at number 8 Johns Hopkins. The Terps are 27-0 all time against the Blue Jays. Coming up in 30 minutes, one down, 161 to go. And that is Stein on Sports.
You may have thousands of dollars sitting around your home that you don't realize. The American Bullion Center will buy all of your unwanted jewelry, silverware, and coins. Talk to me, Rick Davis, the owner. I'm available Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So let me help you turn your unwanted valuables into the cash that you can use and deserve today. Visit me at the American Bullion Center, 2334 York Road in Timonium, or call 410-825-2334. License 2528.
WCBM News Time 10:07. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Here at Fox 45 forecast, we've got a wet day ahead of us with steady rain at times, even some rumbles of thunder. Temperatures will be falling from the 50s back into the 40s later today. Rain should move out tonight, but at that point, even colder with lows near freezing. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
55 degrees in Bowley's Quarters, 52 in Pikesville, and 55 in Joppa Town. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM. WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 60, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday. It's not so beautiful today. It was beautiful yesterday, so hopefully you sucked in the sun and, I said sucked in, soaked in. You can suck it in too, but soaked in the sun and had a great day yesterday, even if you weren't an opening day, if you just got outside. That is amazing, okay? And then I guess, when will the weather be better again, Brian, the producer? Is it a week from now? I don't even know. I don't even want to look. I don't even want to look at it. Well, anyways, of course, we were talking about Governor Wes Moore being booed at the Orioles game yesterday. That was a bit shocking. Also, the question of the day, lots of you already weighing in, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Were you surprised to hear booing at the Orioles game for Governor Wes Moore? Please go ahead and take part in our poll question at WCBM.com. Also, if you have the app, it's easier to just hit the poll button, and then you can take the poll question right there. Again, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Were you surprised to hear booing at the Orioles game for Governor Wes Moore? Lots of people also weighing in, I see, on Facebook, so we'll get to some of those comments. We were also talking about the big debate last night in Annapolis. And yes, over 300 people attended. It was well done. I tell you, this is the way I said earlier, it was so nice and so professional and so well done. I didn't even want to crack a joke. And that says a lot, okay? That says a lot. If there is a blueprint to how to host a debate, everyone should follow what they did last night. And I'm glad that I've got a great caller here on the line, James McNeil. James, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Ms. Plasic. Good morning.
Good morning. So you guys put on a fantastic debate last night. What went into the preparation? I've got to know, because it was just so well done.
We actually started that back January 2026, the 4th of January, and built it forward from there.
Well, you did a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And again, I want to thank you publicly, Tori Snow, Euripsy Morgan, and certainly Chris Pabst, for the wonderful job you guys did. It was just, it went off without a hitch. The actual number was 336 attendees.
Oh.
Thousands of folks. It was live streamed, and thousands of folks have heard it on the live stream at the time. So it did get some, obviously, some media coverage, and our takeaway, I think it went very well. We're in touch with the candidates, getting feedback from them, and we've asked you guys also for some feedback so we can improve if we do some other things in the future.
Yeah, no, I'll be interested to hear what the candidates have to say about it, because I thought it went really well. I thought Tori Snow did a really great job, because, of course, there was three of us moderators. But Tori Snow did a really good job kind of going back and forth with the different questions and, you know, allowing more opportunities for answers from the candidates, which I think the crowd probably enjoyed. And you did say it was live streamed there, James, and I did get a text. My friend Catalina, she actually watched through the Baltimore Suns live stream last night, and so she was happy to be able to catch it because she could not be there in person. I guess, James, you know, speaking to the crowd and those that were leaving last night, how did the crowd feel about the debate? Do you know?
We only got positive feedback. We actually were very impressed. I think we're pretty critical on ourselves, but I think the takeaway that it went off without a hitch, and I think it was well attended, and security was certainly there and present, and I think people appreciated that.
Oh, yes, and I do. We got to thank our first responders, our police officers. There were many officers out there last night that did. It kept the place secure, and, of course, it was great seeing so many in the parking lot. It was just an overall great event, very well planned. James, is there anything else you want the audience to know? Do you guys have anything else coming up, or is there something else that you guys might be working on in the future?
Well, we're probably going to promote our crab feast, but that'll be future. Cogs will have a crab feast in Anne Arundel County, and we'll be putting that on here shortly and getting that out publicized for the candidates, for the Anne Arundel County candidates. But certainly this is being passed off to Baltimore County. There was a flyer and a date, and I unfortunately I don't have that date in front of me. But that was discussed last night, and that'll be soon to be published throughout social media. And would love for people to attend that. Now, we're out of it, but we're going to help them with promotion and stuff like that, so their debate is equally successful, if not better. And then there is a third debate the candidates did agree to. That'll be in Prince George's County, but none of that is public at this point in regards to a date.
All right, and then before I let you go, James McNeil, you're also running for Anne Arundel Sheriff, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm running in Anne Arundel County for the sheriff, and I would love certainly to get the Anne Arundel County folks to vote for me, and I've got to earn their vote, and they can certainly look me up at McNeil, the number 4 sheriff. .com, and McNeil for Sheriff is the easiest way to find me on social media forums. And I also have a public number. Certainly call me if you have any questions, concerns. I'm not afraid to answer the phone and talk to you or anyone that calls.
Nice. Well, James McNeil, again, great job last night, and you're so well organized. I don't know how, like you said, it went off without a hitch, and you had so many people involved. And even the audio, I thought that, you know, I'm somebody that works with audio people all the time. I thought you guys did a great job there as well. The timekeepers did a great job. Everybody was on their P's and Q's, so you should be very proud of how the event went last night. I think that was the best debate forum I've ever attended. So thank you so much.
That's great to hear. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your time. And again, you guys were the stars. You guys were and did an outstanding job, and it was well scripted. I think we did put a tremendous amount of effort and time. I want to give a shout out to Dave Morseberger and Mary Phelps for helping with composing those questions to the candidates.
Yeah, no, those were great. And they were easy enough for me to read without stumbling. So I appreciate that. Thanks, James. I hope you have a great weekend, and good luck to you in your race for sheriff. We'll talk soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. No, it really was. And I know it sounds crazy because I've been to many of these events, okay? I've been to many events. And this one, you know, you would have thought that this was hosted by the RNC. That's how great it was. I was shocked. I mean, I walked in. Here I am walking in from the game, right? So I'm kind of hoping I don't smell like sweat, right? Because I was out there sweating. And and I, you know, I changed really quickly, of course, you know, to put on a very professional dress for the occasion. But, yeah, I walk in. I walked in a little bit later only because traffic was so bad. And they were like, hey, Kim, what's going on? Here's what we're doing. Here, you want to line up here. Here are the candidates. Here is there. You know, they had the backstage where you could just say hello to everybody real quick. I mean, the whole thing was well done. Well done. All right. So I'll leave that there. I'll leave that there. But I will say this. We do have some great candidates running for governor. And hopefully we'll hear more from, you know, whether it's Dan Cox or Ed Hale or even this Carl Brunner, you know, Nancy Jane, all these other people that are also running. We want to hear from everybody because at the end of the day, we want to put our best foot forward. And I do think that Westmore is very vulnerable. I do. And we just have to have a candidate that is going to be able to, number one, have that, you know, the charisma, the stage presence, the charm, be very knowledgeable on the issues and be able to debate him in a way where it's not like you're taking jabs at the guy. But at the same time, you are just pointing out the fact that he has a failing record. To date, Wes Moore doesn't have any accomplishments. You know, he can't deny that. That would actually, honestly, you know, and I know it sounds crazy because I've never won a race. I've been in many races. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But if I were on that gubernatorial debate stage and I had an opening statement, at least towards the very end of that statement, I would add into it. And, you know, that piece, Governor Westmore has been in office since 2022, and he hasn't a single accomplishment he can point to. And I dare anybody in the audience tonight to to give me some kind of rebuttal and then just let it go silent and then say thank you. And that's your, you know, that's at the end of your opening statement because they can't. There's nothing they can say to that. The bridge, terrible. The education system, terrible. Spending, terrible. The money going in and out of these agencies with no oversight, terrible. You saw what they were doing at DHS. terrible. The comptroller, terrible. Everything has been awful. The taxes, the fees, this guy has been awful for Maryland. And I have been trying to be so polite. When I go on Fox 45 Wednesday mornings, I don't know if you guys ever see those clips, but I try to post a few of them. Hopefully you're able to watch it live. But sometimes I post the clips, and I know my mom even tunes in. Now, my mom even says, Kim, I do appreciate the fact that you are not mean-spirited, and you are very nice and polite to the governor, because that means a lot to her, I guess, as a Democrat. You know, so I look at that, and that's what I try to do. I try my best to be polite about his failures. And I think that if you have a gubernatorial candidate, the nominee, if they can be polite about his failures, I think that would resonate with the Democrats in this state. And then on top of it, even though that I'm not a huge fan of former Governor Larry Hogan, you know what I would do? I would point to some of Larry Hogan's accomplishments. And I will say, even Bob Ehrlich, I will say, remember when you had a Republican in office? Remember when we weren't raising taxes and fees on you, right? I would give them a short list about what the Republicans have accomplished. Then to our Republicans in Annapolis, I would say, here are some of the bills that our Republicans put forth that didn't even make it out of committee, or they did not pass the House or the Senate. And then I would give them a brief little summary of some of these bills that outline just plain old common sense. And then I would just leave that for food for thought. But I know you're going to have to do it in a very polite way. You can't get angry, right? You can't take personal jabs. But you can do this. I do feel as though Republicans can win in November. I really do. I really do. And like I said, last night, to watch everybody up there on that stage and do a fantastic job, it just shows me that we've got the talent. We've got people that are there that can make this work. We've got great candidates. Great candidates. I will also say, because you know I'm a stickler for people that wear professional wear, you know, in these settings, there was a stark difference between John Myrick, who had, you know, a really nice suit. He had a blue suit, red tie, white shirt, you know, very Donald Trump-like. But I thought that it looked great. And again, people are very visual. I thought John Myrick looked great. And I thought that, because, you know, I guess Michael Oakes, he wants to be a little more relatable. And I told you that was his tone. That's how he came across. But he wore like jeans and a sweater. And they were on either end of the stage. And you could see a very stark difference. Okay. So Michael Oakes, even though I like the way that he speaks, which is very relatable, you know, in some instances, the way that he would look down, he almost looked a little unsure of himself. A little disorganized, you know, not so confident. Whereas you looked at John Myrick, when he would stand up straight, right? He had this nice suit on. And like I said, the way that he answered these questions, tied them up each with a bow, it was a great look. It was a great look. And so the other candidates, I would just say, you know, just keep that in mind when you're doing these debates. But like I said, everybody had great ideas. Everybody had great answers. And I feel as though that I'm very optimistic with what we have. And that's including not even having Dan Cox and Ed Hale Sr. there. And so there I am corrected as well. As you heard, James McNeil said that there were 336 people there. I thought 317, 336, you know, a nice turnout. All right, we get back. I know I mentioned earlier about what the Baltimore IG report outlined. I just kind of want to drop something to you in regards to just how unprofessional they are at City Hall. And this is as we're waiting to see more information, because the IG, of course, Isabel Cumming, has sued the mayor's office. You know, she got a bunch of redacted documents. She's trying to investigate the waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, with this investigation, she found some unsettling emails going back and forth to colleagues. I'm going to share those with you, so stay right there.
You've planned for everything, your retirement, investments, and even your next vacation. But a plan for long-term care? Not so much. Let's face it, no one wants to think about needing care someday, but ignoring it? That's not a strategy. Wesley Secure Care is a membership program that helps you stay in the home you love and maintain the lifestyle you love while securing the care you may need later. Visit our website, wesleysecurecare.org, or give us a call, 410-324-2400, to learn more.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If fear has kept you from the dentist, the Smile Design Center is the place to go. We have a little purple pill. You'll relax and have little to no memory of your visit. Just a healthy new smile. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation. consultation at 410-321-1100.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Massive tax increases, skyrocketing utility bills, criminal illegals roaming free in the state. It must stop now. Go to WCBM.com and sign our state petition. Send a message to our elected leaders that they need to listen to voters and stop the tyranny of one-party rule. Go to WCBM.com and send an SOS for a real change.
AM 680, WCBM Baltimore.
This is your president. Maryland has the dumbest governor in America. This guy is out of touch.
I will work with agency heads. I will work with anybody if it means that they're going to advance the issues in, for the people of Maryland. And especially if it's going to help to address some of the issues that I think are being inspired by the policies of the Trump-Pence administration.
You're out of touch. I'm out of touch.
The Rob Parson Show.
Friday on the show, with 2028, 3 years ahead, Hillary Clinton scheduled a trip to New Hampshire. Did anyone else just throw up in their mouth a little?
Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, on to the opening day. I want to say good morning to Kevin. I met Kevin. He says he drives down to work from Pennsylvania, and he listens to Kim Klasick live on his way into work. Good morning, Kevin, to you. It was nice to meet you yesterday at Camden Yards. And I also want to say hello and good morning to Buster. Buster was there, and I got to see him. Remember Buster called in? Well, I went over to Buster's bar. He is. He's right there, right underneath the big scoreboard, the new scoreboard, I should add. And I got to see him when I went over and gave him a hug, and that was great. And like I said, the park was beautiful. Everybody had a great time. And, you know, with the weather, I mean, it just couldn't be better. It couldn't be better. It was amazing. All right, go back to the question of the day, if you could. Brought to you by Renovation Real Estate at WCBM.com. Also in the app, if you want to take the poll question, were you surprised to hear booing at the Orioles game for Governor Wes Moore? Right now, 95% of you say no, you're not surprised. 5% of you say yes, you were surprised. This thing is blowing up on Facebook, by the way. Lots of people commenting. Let's see. Jarrett says, the post right below this in my feed is Larry Hogan chugging a beer with everyone cheering him on. I'm not saying anything, but I think the people spoke yesterday. Bunky says, I was surprised it wasn't louder. Sue says, not at all. He probably wasn't surprised either. Mike says, proof that Oriole fans are a smart group. Linda said, I bet he was surprised. And so, of course, the comments go on and on. But, yeah. I will share with you my thoughts on it, but please go take the poll question at WCBM.com. All right, I wanted to drop this sound to you because I thought it was very interesting. We're learning so much from the Baltimore IG, and of course she's investigating the waste, fraud, and abuse in City Hall, specifically the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. Well, with this investigation, she's going through emails that are going back and forth to colleagues. And, well, if you can imagine, many of them are very unprofessional, and also include violence. Take a listen.
A new report from the Baltimore City Inspector General's office highlights threatening messages apparently sent from one city employee to other employees, and in some cases to their subordinates.
This report coming as the Inspector General is already at odds with City Hall over record access. Fox 45's Jessica Babb takes us through the push for transparency.
Well, this latest report highlights inappropriate messages from a city employee. Advocates say this is yet another example of why it's important that inspectors general have access to records.
Logging on and pressing send. A new report from Baltimore City Inspector General Isabel Cumming shows a city employee using a city Teams account send threatening and inappropriate messages to subordinates and employees in other agencies. With offensive words blurred out, some of those messages saying they're about to choke someone or another employee is going to make them crack her skull. The report saying other messages said things like, I'm going to kill him or I just want to throw something at him. Even saying this broad is about to make me throw hands on top of other comments about different city agencies. The report saying the messages can violate the city's policies and can lead to a toxic or hostile work environment. In a short two-sentence response, the mayor saying the appropriate response to this personnel matter will be undertaken.
Okay. Why is it that the mayor's learning about what's going on in his office based on the Baltimore IG report? Have you noticed that? So now all these violent emails are now made public because of this ID report. Did you hear the one, so-and-so is going to make me throw hands? What? Look, I knew that there was a lot of incompetence at City Hall. I didn't know that they were in there fighting like this. This is so unprofessional. But again, yes, that's my biggest concern. My biggest concern is that Mayor Brandon Scott has no idea what's going on in his office. None. None whatsoever. Some of these city agencies, you know, these are city employees. And remember, a lot of what she's going through as far as some of these documents, the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. I wouldn't be surprised if these people that they're talking about, they didn't give their identities. I wouldn't be surprised if they have an office right next door to the mayor's. I wouldn't be surprised. Again, these are six-figure salary people. Okay? These are employees making big money. And this is what they're doing. This is how they're spending their time. Now, apparently, a lot of these emails came from one individual, you know, throughout. He said, you know, this will be looked at and, you know, it's going to be a serious matter and things will be undertaken, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That person should be fired. I don't care who it is. This girl's going to make me throw hands. I want to crack somebody's skull. What? This is supposed to be a professional setting. For crying out loud, it's the mayor's office. And again, I don't understand why he has no control on what's going on in there. None. So now you've got all this waste, fraud, and abuse. You've got all this money going out the door. You know, Cash App. You know, look, I already knew that there were lots of shenanigans happening within the mayor's office. But this is much more than I thought. I got to be honest with you. This is worse than I thought. When we get back, speaking of which, I do want to just tell you a little bit about the Maryland comptroller and the fact that she isn't taking a look at what's going on when it comes to the state's money. Stay right there.
SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The House Ethics Committee has found that Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Sherfalus McCormick of Florida committed 25 ethics violations. The allegations center around her receipt of millions of dollars from her family's health care business after Florida made an overpayment. She faces possible expulsion. The committee said it would recommend a punishment in the coming weeks. The 42-day shutdown affecting the Department of Homeland Security may be nearing an end in terms of funding. Senators approved the money for TSA and other agencies except ICE, and now the House is taking up the measure. Israel launched a new wave of strikes and says its attacks on Iran will escalate and expand. Iran, meanwhile, kept firing missiles today and drones at its Gulf Arab neighbors. Stocks still sliding on Wall Street. This is SRN News.
If you're ready to move more this season, walk farther, exercise stronger, stay motivated for spring activities, but your stamina isn't keeping up, listen closely. Rescue Orsine is formulated to help you feel energized and stay active without the caffeine jitters. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with code MYENERGY. Your body runs on ATP. The natural energy powers every muscle, every step. But as we age, ATP production slows down along with endurance and recovery. Rescue Orsine features research-backed ingredients that support ATP production at the cellular level, helping you power through workouts. Get outside more and stay consistent with your fitness goals. Just go to res-q.com and use the code MYENERGY to buy one bottle of Orsine to get one free. Or you can call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Don't wait to spring forward with lasting energy. Shop Orsine at res-q.com with code MYENERGY.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
One down, 161 to go.
Alexander punches it up the middle for a base hit. O'Neill rounds third to score. And Blaze Alexander's first Oriole hit brings it a run to make it 2-0.
There we go.
Kevin Brown had the call on Masson. Welcome to Baltimore, Blaze Alexander. His single, the difference in the game, is the Orioles and Trevor Rogers win a pitcher's duel on opening day. 2-1 the final at Camden Yards. After the game, Alexander on the at-bat that won it for Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, I made a mid-game adjustment, you know, early in the game, late kicking, and I'm an athlete, so if I'm getting beat on that, I'm going to get my foot down and I'm going to battle. I'm going to put a ball in play.
Meanwhile, Kobe Mayo, the defensive hero at third base, turning a pair of 5-4-3 double plays.
First one's always probably the toughest, especially that one.
Diving to his left, spinning around and firing the second. Birds turning three DPs in all. Couple sidebars here. Tyler O'Neill's MLB record streak of six consecutive opening days with home runs came to an end yesterday. And Jesse Minter was a hit as the guest splasher out in the birdbath. Zay Flowers was on the field in pregame as well. Speaking of the Ravens, they're still working, looking to solve their defensive issues, bring lineman DJ Reader in for a visit yesterday. Reader started every game for the Lions last season, previously playing for the Bengals and the Texans. Coming up in 30 minutes, another historic night for Alex Ovechkin. And that is Stein on Sports. Gary Stein here. If your heating or AC system gives you trouble, you need a company that you can count on. That's why I recommend Farnan and Dermer Heating and Air Conditioning, serving Baltimore for 125 years. When you need help fast, they offer same-day service, while some companies are a week or more out. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for up to 60 months on select systems and BGE rebates of up to $3,000 on high-efficiency HVAC systems. Tell them I sent you and get an AC system tuned up for just $99. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys, my guys.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a very rainy start to the day. We've actually got on and off showers throughout the day today with dropping temperatures. Temperatures will fall from the 60s to the 50s, eventually back into the 40s by tonight. Tonight turns drier with that rain moving out, but much colder with lows near freezing. And Saturday is going to be sunny but breezy and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
File now with TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They'll find every credit and deduction or your money back. File in the Credit Karma app.
To Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG. This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. Does it sound like I'm dragging today? I hope not. But I was running all over the place yesterday. You know what? I should have made the decision to go to opening day. That was irresponsible. It really was. Brian, the producer, said, yeah, it was. Because here I was, you know, of course, you guys know, I get up at 4:30 in the morning and I go to the gym. Then I come to work and then I decided, okay, yeah, I'm going to run home and get changed for opening day. Then I get to opening day, and then from there, of course, I'm running to Annapolis. And then from Annapolis, I got to run and go pick up Olivia after the debate. Of course, she was mad at me because it was after 8 o'clock. So I pick her up, and she's like, "And where have you been, Missy?" Right? So then she's all upset. Then we get home, and then we, you know, she's already had dinner. And then it's like, I feel a little bit hungry. No, you don't. No, you don't. All right? Anyways, of course, she was a little bit hungry, so I had to give her some mac and cheese. Shout out to Richardson Farms, because I always got a tub of mac and cheese from Richardson's in the fridge. So anyways, there was a lot going on. So then by the time I got, you know, myself settled and then could even think about my show plan, I mean, it was late and I was tired. So I apologize. That was irresponsible on my part. Real quick, the question of the day is really blowing up, like I said, especially on Facebook. If you haven't already, go to WCBM.com. It's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Were you surprised to hear boos for Governor Wes Moore at the Orioles game? Yes or no? Well, here's some of the comments I wanted to read to you on Facebook really quickly. And then we'll get into Brooke Learman and this money going to nonprofits in the state. There are people here. John says, I love it. Mark said he is a horrible governor and a slick, greasy politician. Mike says absolutely not. But here's what I thought was interesting. This guy, David, says, sorry to say, but Governor Wes Moore is horrible. And so is the worthless jackass President Trump. You see, this is what I'm looking at. People like David, okay? There's another guy on here. His name is Keith, the black guy. He says, no, he deserves it. Now, if you go to Keith's profile, Keith lives in Baltimore City. He attended Morgan State University. He's a married man. You can see, because he has all his pictures, probably middle class. And you can tell by his photos, he is not a Trump supporter whatsoever. So there are people that hate Trump that also hate Governor Wes Moore living right in Baltimore City. When I tell you this is the opportunity for a Republican, I am spot on with this. I'm telling you right now. I'm so serious. If you look and just do it, go to WCBM's Facebook page, scroll through the messages under the question of the day post. Then follow those that say there's a hell no, a heck no, I boo him often, no, he's a disgrace, I don't like him, I don't like Trump. Just go to some of these comments and then click on their profile. You will see there are people like, you know, got posts, I hate MAGA, I hate this, I hate that. And then they also hate Governor Wes Moore. You love to see it. You love to see it. It's happening. It's happening. All right. You know what else is happening? The Maryland Comptroller tracks every dollar in and every dollar out, but not nonprofit grants. Did you hear about this? Yeah, where there could be possibly money laundering, it could be very, very easy to launder money through nonprofit grants. You guys know this, okay? You're not dumb. Well, anyways, the Maryland Comptroller, my favorite activist, Brooke Learman, apparently she isn't tracking any of this money. Here you have, as the General Assembly moves closer to passing another budget, a chunk of the funds will be allocated to nonprofit organizations. But the state's comptroller, along with several state agencies, say that they can't provide the total dollar amount. Now, if this were you or I, we would be getting a call from the IRS and we could possibly see some handcuffs on our wrists, okay? That's how serious this is. All right. Now, you guys know I ran a nonprofit for 8 years in Baltimore City, and my books had to be in order every single day of the week. Anybody could walk in at any point in time because we were 501c3 and say, hey, I want to see your books. And they would have to be ready. They would have to be ready. And you couldn't say no. But for some reason, when it comes to Democrats in the state of Maryland, they feel as though that they don't have to follow the same rules. So the comptroller's website says the office oversees every dollar in and every dollar out for the state. That's what her website says. When asked whether they track allocations to nonprofits, a spokesperson said, many state systems don't differentiate between nonprofits and other entities or businesses, and so they can't provide the number. Again, if that were you or I, we would be going down to the jail. Okay? We would be going to jail! All right, the comptroller spokesperson told Spotlight on Maryland that they would have to contact state agencies that allocate the grants. Last year, the Baltimore Sun reached out to nearly every state agency asking how much money they give nonprofits, and only a few provided specific dollar amounts, with some large departments saying they couldn't provide the information. But I bet you no one's going to jail. Spotlight on Maryland filed a public information request last month with several state agencies asking them to provide their nonprofit contracts. So far, the Department of Natural Resources has provided several dozen contracts, saying more will be delivered in batches. Now, the Department of Housing and Community Development, which you would think that they would be on top of things, they told Spotlight in response to its public information request that vendors aren't differentiating in their system by corporate structure. So the requested data about nonprofits, well, it isn't readily available to extract. Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. Again, the Department of Housing and Community Development. Housing and Community Development. That's right. If you thought it was HUD, it's HUD. Doug Mayer, who served as communications director for former Republican Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, said while the comptroller's office doesn't typically keep information about total allocations to nonprofits, the agencies should be able to individually provide that information. He also said that if someone had asked him for that information while Hogan was in office, he would have asked every agency and they would have provided the number instantly. You see, this is a difference. And Doug Mayer actually said this, a quote from Spotlight on Maryland. He says, that's the difference between us and them, referring to Hogan's administration and Wes Moore's administration. He says, quote, any cabinet level secretary saying that they can't provide the number is either lying or so incompetent they should be fired. Again, that comes in from Doug Mayer, who served as communications director for Republican Governor Larry Hogan. He's absolutely correct. And I'm not even a fan of Doug. He's absolutely correct. The fact that they can't provide this number, huge. The fact that this report is now out there and Governor Wes Moore isn't asking Brooke Learman or any of these agencies to get on top of it so they can provide these numbers, you know he's not doing it. You see, Governor Moore, if you were ever wondering why you were booed at Camden Yards yesterday, a lot of what has to do with the money, a lot of this is the reason why. If that were any of your constituents and they didn't have that money, or that number ready and readily available for anybody to take a look at, especially the IRS, they would be going to jail. They would be questioned by investigators at the IRS. And on top of it, they probably would have put a freeze and a hold on a lot of their funds. This is typical government, but in a different way. In a different way, I say that because, you know, in Maryland, because it's such a blue state, like Larry Hogan's administration, he's right. If he didn't have those numbers readily available, they would be on top of his you-know-what. But because it's Governor Westmore, because it's Brooke Learman, because they walk around, you know, as the activists that they are, this is just being swept under the rug. No one's really looking into any of this. We saw the same thing with the Department of Human Services. I will continue to talk about Kanaya Ward. 16 years old, living in a hotel, should be on suicide watch. She's by herself. The agency tasked with watching her doesn't even have their documents and papers up to you know, par. And then all of a sudden, you know, of course, she commits suicide because, of course, she was on suicide watch. She should have been. She commits suicide. And do you get a response from the DHS secretary? No, he resigns after a while. If this were, anybody else besides Governor Westmore, and this is what I also think, and, you know, you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think race does play a factor in here. And I think that it's, you know, in the opposite direction in which we hear. I think there are certain parts of this administration and Governor Moore that people don't touch because he is black. I think he's getting a lot of leeway, and I think that people are allowing him, and even Mayor Brandon Scott and people in his office, I think they're allowing them to be incompetent or liars because they're black. I do. This couldn't happen anywhere else. Now, I am black, but I'm a Republican. If this was happening under my watch, please, I would be headline news. Rachel Maddow would be talking about me. But because they're black, and this is an inner city, and it's a blue city, because, you know, professionalism is completely out the window, nobody addresses it. Now, this Spotlight on Maryland article dropped. Let me take a look at this, because, you know, they've been talking about this for a while with the comptroller's office. This dropped yesterday at 5:39 p.m. Have you really heard about it yet? Is it making headline news where you are? No. Is this a big deal? Absolutely. They're not tracking nonprofit grants where money could easily be laundered? Please. Please. And I don't have to tell you guys. You guys all know. This is criminal. Criminal. And meanwhile, this drops. You got the comptroller on the field yesterday for opening day. Boy. Boy. But this is kind of where we are. You know, I wanted to just mention here, too, if I could. You know, with the state issues and the fact that we can't get spending under control, I thought Doug and Mark Fisher did a great job talking about the budget yesterday on the House floor in Annapolis. And he said, quote, the state is effectively bankrupt. Now, he also mentioned my favorite movie, and he's got that little quote in here, too. But I just want you to take a listen to, you know, Doug and Mark Fisher, but also just take a listen to just how basic all this is, right? None of this is rocket science. This is basic, you know, 1, 2, 3s and ABCs. And the fact that people aren't being held accountable in Governor Westmore's administration, again, I think it's because no one wants to touch the fact that he is the first black governor in the state of Maryland. I think people don't want to touch the fact that Brandon Scott is a young black mayor in a city like Baltimore. And so they're allowing these individuals to be incompetent. And they're allowing their agencies to be incompetent. And this is where voters need to put their foot down. Take a listen to what Doug and Mark Fisher had to say in Annapolis.
I rise to explain my red vote for the Maryland budget bill. It's the largest budget expenditure bill that I've ever seen, $71 billion thereabouts. And the largesse of this bill, of the spending, is on the backs in part of ratepayers. The 30% tax on your electricity bills, car registration fees, and the $2 billion in taxes that have been raised over the past 3 years. And despite all of that, there are deficits way into the future, $2 billion next year, $3 billion the following year, $4 billion the following year. And you want, to know something? The deficits don't even include the $35 billion in unfunded liabilities, including $20 billion in unfunded pension liabilities and $9 billion in unfunded health insurance liabilities and the Child Victims Act liabilities and the reparations liabilities. It just never ends. The state is effectively bankrupt. It is bankrupt. It reminds me of the movie A Failure to Launch with Matthew McConaughey. He's 35 years old. He's still living at home in his parents' basement. Well, that's Marilyn. We want you to get out of her basement, move out, figure out how to live on your own. Figure out how to stop mooshing off of the citizens of the state and stop spending. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Again, Delegate Mark Fisher, and that's that clip's going around on X pretty well, and he's right. And that is a great movie, by the way, Matthew McConaughey, It's a Failure to Launch. But, you know, we've talked about this many times. There are many Democrats in Annapolis that have never had a real job. They don't own their house. They don't own anything. They own nothing. They don't have any children, right? They don't have, you know, a spouse. You know, bills are minimum, right? I mean, it's just, so it's like they don't really get it. And so when you're wondering why they can't seem to care about the spending and the balancing of the budget, they don't even do that in their own personal lives. I mean, Governor Wes Moore went into the governor's mansion with, how high was his water bill? Like 20 grand or something? I mean, it's like it's a joke for them. And then they sit there and complain about student loan forgiveness. Of course you didn't manage that. I'm shocked. Now, I will say that some of these schools, I mean, the ridiculous amount that they charge people for some of these liberal arts degrees, I mean, it was just, I mean, it clearly nonsense. So some people, I'm sure, you know, are trying their best, but it's like, you know, drowning in a pool at that point. But I thought those were great comments from Delegate Mark Fisher. On top of that, in Annapolis yesterday, in case you missed it, House Democrats vowed to press ahead with an amended Senate bill that is their attempt to salvage some type of legislative win on redistricting this session, even as a Senate leader says the effort is dead on arrival. The issue could come to a head Thursday when House Republicans will try to derail the amended version of Senate Bill 5. A bill that would call for special elections to fill legislative vacancies instead of the current system of appointments. Again, this is in Maryland Matters, all right? Now, the bill was quietly amended Tuesday to include language smoothing the way for future congressional redistricting efforts. The Senate sponsor of the bill said the House amendments will effectively kill the measure, but House lawmakers are not backing down. All right, so House Majority Leader Delegate David Boone had this to say. You know, he's out of Montgomery County. He says, I know that people have theories and rumors about whether this is alive or dead, but this is 100% a live bill, a live language, and a live issue until signee die. Again, David Boone. He says, essentially, the Senate's passed over something. We've now passed something back, and this is... And as this process goes, until the presiding officer's gavel us out of signee die, we have from now until then to work this thing out. Delegate Moon's optimism is not shared by the Senate's top Democrat, Bill Ferguson, of course. So if, in case you missed it there, Delegate David Moon, who, you know, this is the same delegate that stood up last session and said that, you know, 90 days is already a lot. They're working way too much there in Annapolis. Remember he wanted like a 3-day work week or something? Yeah, that's David Boone. Well, anyways, he's still trying to push mid-cycle redistricting. He's still trying to get it done. And I thought this was going to happen because you had Governor Moore bringing Hakeem Jeffries to town. Governor Moore was still talking about it, even though Senator Bill Ferguson said no. Then you had Senate Bill Ferguson. You know, now he's got this primary challenger. They clearly want to take him out. And now you've got the delegates in the House try to push this forward. Well, guess what, David Boone? I've spoken to many Democrats in the Senate already. You don't have the votes. You do not have the votes in the Senate. You can try all you want. But luckily, there are some Democrats in the state that still have a little common sense. Now, they're trying to push it through with other bills. They're trying their best to get it done. But like I said before, try. Let it end up in court and let the Republicans actually end up in two congressional seats. Go ahead, press it.
We dare you. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that forth in case you missed it. Doug and David Moon and a few other progressives are still trying to push redistricting. All right, we get back. Of course, I want to just fill you in. Remember the other squatter that was with that young lady that was squatting in the $2.3 million mansion in Bethesda? Well, you guys were asking what happened to the guy, Corey Pollard, that was with her. Well, Spotlight of Maryland gave us a little information. Stay right there.
Lorian Harmony Hall opened a unique memory care program this year called Harmony Park. Lorian Harmony Park features an indoor setting that looks like an outdoor park space. It is a sensory neighborhood that is meant to offer wayfinding and other unique features to our residents to help them navigate their day. For more information, visit LorianAssistedLiving.com or call 410-531-6000.
Have you been injured in a car accident? Don't let the insurance companies push you around. I'm the Ouch Guy, and I fight for hardworking Baltimore families. You won't see me backing down, so while you focus on getting better, let me handle the rest. Call 877-OUCH-911 for the best attorney experience. Ouch Guy is Yehoshua Beer.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking into diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Kenny Michaels right here on 680 WCBM at 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Kenny is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Listen for Kenny's insights in The Gold Show every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
Previously on Casey and Company.
Secretary Lopez announcing last week he's resigning for health reasons. I don't really think one individual is going to be able to turn this agency around. I really don't. I mean, there might be some good people working there. Maybe they've got some good ideas. But we see this now in state agency after state agency, and it gets worse each and every year in a one-party dominated ruled state where there is no accountability.
Start your morning with Maryland's wake-up call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All right. So as you hear there, Doug and David Moon is still going to try to push redistricting. Senator Bill Ferguson is trying to slap him down. We'll see what happens with that. But like I said, he doesn't have the votes in the Senate to get that through. But they're trying this so hard, you know? It's like, wow, this is really, I mean, do you guys not cheat enough in this state? I mean, all this over Andy Harris's seat? Really? The one seat? Oh, man, looks like I have a caller on the line. Tim in Baltimore. Tim, did you want to weigh in?
Just this, Kim. I'm so disgusted with these clowns in Annapolis. I would just pay them if they went to Annapolis and just sat on their hands and you know what for the 90-day session and not do anything. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great idea. Well, Tim, let me ask you before you go. Do you think they'll push this redistricting through? Do you think we could lose Andy Harris as the lone Republican?
It's a toying cost. It really is. It's a toying cost because you don't know what machinations these Democrats will do. I mean, they are pernicious.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Tim, thank you so much. I think many people would agree with you. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Kim.
Thank you. Yeah, no, look, I would rather they do absolutely nothing at all, but this is what they do. This is what they do. All right, real quick here, I just wanted to just fill you in on this one, because many of you guys were asking, you were saying, you know, Tamika Good, she's the woman that was squatting in that Bethesda home worth $2.3 million. And many of you said, Kim, what happened to the other person that was living with her? Well, Corey Pollard's his name, and apparently he has ties to former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby, believe it or not. I know, sounds crazy. Well, anyways, he was living in, neighbors had to identify him, but they were living, he was living in the house with Tamika Good, which I thought was very interesting. So it doesn't look like they were in a relationship or anything. They were just both squatting in this house. But he was released from jail this past week, despite prosecutors accusing him of falsifying documents and manipulating associates and continuing a pattern of criminal conduct tied to luxury car theft. Yeah, he took a sledgehammer to some luxury cars at a dealership. I guess he was stealing all these different cars. He stole like a whole fleet of them. Well, anyways, Corey Pollard, I guess, is going to be held accountable, the same as Tamika Good, for living in that home. But the ties, you know, just so you know, he was in a reentry program at Georgetown University back in 2019. They called it the Pivot Program. And so they showed that he was doing very well in that program because he was a criminal felon before that. But that he went from that Pivot Program to State Attorney Marilyn Mosby's office. And so he worked with her for just a bit, but she got him from that Pivot Program. See, you know, and I understand she's not going to have any say. I mean, if somebody comes to you and it looks like they're doing well, you want to give them another chance, sure. But apparently he was committing crimes while working there. They just didn't know. See, there's a lot going on. And you really got to keep your eyes on people like this. And especially when they come to you from a program like that. Not trying to say that everybody's like this. But you want to make sure you keep an eye out. Well, anyways, Corey Pollard's his name. And hopefully he will be held accountable, just like Tamika Good, for squatting in that home. Coming up next, we've got so much more to talk about and discuss. One, of course, has to do with Nancy Guthrie.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The House Ethics Committee has found that Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Sherfalus McCormick of Florida committed 25 ethics violations. She faces possible expulsion from Congress. The committee said it would recommend a punishment in the coming weeks. Congress is moving closer to funding the Department of Homeland Security. The weeks-long budget impasse has meant TSA and other federal workers have gone without pay. The Senate voted overnight to restore most DHS funding except for immigration enforcement. It now goes to the House. There are media reports that the Pentagon is considering sending up to 10,000 U.S. troops to the Middle East. Here's the BBC's Sebastian Usher.
President Trump continues to keep all options open and therefore both Iran and the wider world guessing at his intentions. The report in the Wall Street Journal that 10,000 more troops could be sent to the region is an indication that further military escalation is still on the cards, though the number of U.S. forces is still nowhere near what a full ground offensive would need.
A Florida man who fled to China and his sister have been charged after an explosive device was left outside a gate at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. U.S. Attorney Greg Keough.
We have three indictments before you. Alan Zhang, he's charged with an attempted damage of government property by explosive, making a destructive device, and possession of a destructive device. He faces 40 years. And Mary Zhang, his sister, is charged with being an accessory after the fact, tampering with evidence. She faces 30 years. And Mr. Elder is charged with making a threat of an explosive, and he faces 10 years.
Audio courtesy of WFTS. Stocks continue to slide on Wall Street. The Nasdaq is down more than 1% in today's trading. The Dow down nearly 400 points. Townhall.com.
Maybe this is you too. There's enormous frustration right now with healthcare costs. It is amazing. Healthcare costs for families in the last 20 years have almost tripled, and it just keeps getting worse. All this to say, this is why MediShare is so in demand right now. People are looking for alternatives, and MediShare is proven. You can save thousands of dollars a year and actually like it more. Over a million Americans are now part of healthcare sharing, and MediShare is the gold standard. It's trusted. It works. It's been helping people save money and have peace of mind now for 30-plus years. It's not some big impersonal thing either. It's a community of people like you helping each other. So yeah, if you're frustrated too, here's your chance to make a refreshing change. You'll notice the difference as soon as you call. They're easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number. Call 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE. 844-94-BIBLE.
Good morning. It's 1103. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. State Highway Administration will relocate concrete barriers to create a work zone in the median of 695 between Delaney Valley Road and White Marsh Boulevard as soon as this Sunday night. Annapolis residents are invited to help shape the city's 2026 No Harm Community Service Resource Pop-Up Tour by participating in a survey. The online survey will help the violence intervention team with programming and engagement in neighborhoods throughout the Annapolis community. Officials say community input will play a vital role in the planning, outreach, services, and overall impact of this year's events. The No Harm Initiative connects residents to critical services, including youth programming, workforce development, and more. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balance care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes a solution is as simple as removing wax from your ear canal. So call our main number at 410-944-3100, or you can visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, and hearing aids may be covered as well. So call our office at 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. So how did manager Craig Albernaz celebrate his first win in an Oriole uniform? Well, the players made sure it was a soaker.
It was fun. Tyler Wells came in. He asked, how big of a vibes guy are you? I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm always down for the boys. So next thing I know, I'm thrown into the laundry car, going into the shower, getting dosed. So it was a great time.
For his part, the polar bear said it had to be done.
It's a first. You have to celebrate. You have to celebrate first. You have to celebrate big moments. And for him to get his first win with this group, it's really special.
The 2-1 win for Baltimore featured another stellar performance from Trevor Rogers.
Hey now. Swing and a miss. He popped him up with a curve, and Rogers has a big strikeout.
Oh, he needed that one too.
Rogers leaves him loaded. Kevin Brown and Big Ben had the call on Masson. Rogers goes 7 shutout for the Birds, 3 hits, 4 walks. Meanwhile, on the ice last night in Utah, another big night for the Grade 8.
Ovechkin behind the defense towards the empty goal. Yes, sir! Alexander Ovechkin, career hat trick number 34.
Joe B. had the call on Monumental. The empty netter was the cherry on top for Alex Ovechkin. Caps beat the Mammoth in Utah 7-4, the final. Ovi setting an NHL record with a hat trick against his 21st different team. Coming up in 30 minutes, Hell's Bells chime at Camden Yards. And that is Stein on Sports.
Let's be honest. You are way too with it to be thinking about long-term care and care plans. But step one of aging well is admitting you're aging. You can't outsmart time, but you can plan for it. Wesley Secure Care is a membership program that keeps you in control, at home, and ready for whatever comes next. Because denial is a strategy, just not a great one. So set up your strategy today. Learn more at wesleysecurecare.org.
WCBM News Time, 11:07. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a rainy and much cooler day ahead of us. Scattered showers today with temperatures falling back into the 40s this afternoon. Tonight turning drier but even colder as lows dip into the low 30s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
52 in Bel Air, 54 in Edgemere, and 52 in Ellicott City. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com.
This hour is brought to you by Timkyle Heating and Cooling, trusted local experts keeping your home comfortable year-round.
Kim Plasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. Man, if you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where have you been? We've been talking about so many different things, including Governor Wes Moore being booed at the home opener. That's right. Orioles opening day. And look, I don't take glee in it. I'm not laughing. Not at that. Not at that. Governor Wes Moore was booed by a bunch of fans. The question of the day today, blowing up specifically on Facebook. So many people weighing in, even Democrats. If you don't believe me, go check it out for yourself. Go to WCBM's Facebook page and follow us while you're there, if you could. But the question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Were you surprised to hear booing at the Orioles game for Governor Wes Moore? Yes or no? Go ahead and cast your vote. And I'll take a look at those results in just a second. But in case you missed it, we were also talking about the budget in Annapolis. Delegate Mark Fisher stood up and had some pretty good comments on the floor yesterday. I also got a text. Was it Tim from Baltimore that called in and said he wishes that the Democrats would just do nothing at all? Well, Delegate Brian Chisholm, he sent me a text. He's listening to the show. Good morning, Delegate. Thank you for working up there in Annapolis on our behalf. But he says, tell Tim, yeah, we wish that was the case. He's like, we would love for that to happen. We would love for Democrats to get to Annapolis and just do nothing. Do nothing at all. What if they did like Delegate Eric Boucher out of Carroll in Frederick Counties? What if they just came in, they were there for roll call, right, said present, and then just rolled out? You know what? Delegate Eric Boucher, if you could show Democrats how you do it, all right? How do you accomplish that? We were also talking about Corey Pollard. He's the other Bethesda squatter in the $2.3 million mansion with Tamika Good. Apparently, they are going to be held accountable, so we'll keep our eyes on it. But Corey Pollard, according to Spotlight on Maryland, has some ties to former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby because he was in some program called the Pivot Program, getting a second chance on life after lots of criminal activity. But look, if you do your time, you know, for your crime, right, you know, you deserve a second chance. I do believe that. And so I guess he got the second chance and then he blew it, right? He got the second chance and then he blew it again. And so, you know, here he is in a situation with squatting, but also he was stealing luxury vehicles, apparently, on top of it. We were also talking about our fearless Maryland comptroller. Remember, she wanted to reimagine the comptroller's office as Peter Franchot was leaving. And that's exactly what she did, because we found out that at this point, she's not even tracking the money going in and out when it comes to the nonprofit grants from the state. Now, if your first thought is money laundering, guess what? We're on the same page. I absolutely believe there's lots of laundering going on. And you know what? What we were talking about, because of course this week was a 2-year anniversary of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Many of you texted in, and I agree with you. Many people texted in and said, Kim, I think, you know, right now they're quoting us with $5.2 billion. But they're saying, you know, I think this amount's going to really continue to rise. And you're probably going to see a lot of people making backdoor deals on the rebuild of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Texters, I think you're right about that. And that's another reason why I'd rather have the federal government involved. And it's another reason why I'd rather see the Army Corps of Engineers come to town and get it done. I don't trust Governor Wes Moore. I don't trust any of his agencies. I don't trust anybody in his administration. I just don't trust him. I don't trust them. We want this up quickly. and we want it to be done, you know, in a fiscally responsible way. But I don't think we're going to see that. I've got, let's see, Bill in Ellicott City. Bill, did you want to weigh in on Governor Moore being booed at the game? Hey, Bill?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep. Did you want to weigh in on Governor Moore being booed?
Yes. Look, I'm no fan of Wes Moore, but I think it's kind of like in the military. You salute the rank, not necessarily the person. I don't believe in booing the governor of the state of Maryland by anybody, and I don't. And the same goes for Donald Trump or anybody else. You respect the office that they're in. You don't like what they do, vote against them. But showing disrespect at ball games, at rallies, I think is inappropriate.
Well, you know what, Bill? I think there are many people that would agree with you on that point. I guess, you know, my thing is with Governor Moore, and it's, again, it's not personal with anything I have with him, but I feel as though sometimes he really doesn't care to listen to the constituents, right? He didn't care about redistricting. There was no support from residents there, and he doesn't even care when it comes to ICE in dismantling, you know, the relationship we have with those federal partners. He's still doing it anyway. So some people are saying that booing him could possibly have sent him the message that he needed. Do you think that there's any truth there?
I doubt it. I kind of doubt it again. Even if it achieves the results that you're talking about, I just don't believe in our society anymore we should be making egregious statements or booing or whatever against our public officials.
I can understand it. I can understand where you're coming from, Bill. I do. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I get it. And speaking on along those lines, you know, I was thinking earlier, society is really cooked. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there's a comedian by the name of Drewski. Do you guys know Drewski? Well, he does these reenactments, and usually he impersonates somebody. And he has this video right now going around where he is pretending to be Erica Kirk. And, of course, it's hurting a lot of nerves because, you know, here she is, this widow. Her husband was just assassinated in the worst way possible in front of the entire world. And she's got these two little kids that she has to try to explain this to. Well, unfortunately, Drewski has now taken this. And I think a lot of it, too, is because you've got all these podcasters saying that they're questioning Erica and they're not sure if she's, you know, the real deal. And, you know, there's been all these conspiracy theories. And I don't know what's true and what's not true. I don't know Erica personally. All I know is she just lost her husband, right? That's what I look at. Well, anyways, Drewski is this comedian, and he's, you know, he's got like the wig on and all the makeup and even the contacts to have like that very light blue eye or whatever. But he's on stage and the pyrotechnics in the background, and he's got on this like white pantsuit like she had at Charlie Kirk's memorial service there in Arizona. And so he's pretending, you know, he says this is how, you know, conservative white women behave or something like that. And it's, you know, it's supposed to be a comedy skit, right? And that's not lost on me. So I didn't respond to it at all. I mean, I think it's in poor taste. I think that's what Bill was getting to with booing Governor Moore. I do think it's in poor taste. We also live in a time where, you know, I want people to also know comedy is comedy. And we've seen comedians canceled in the past because they didn't have the right political view, right, that the majority of the population believe that they should have. And so you don't want that piece of it either. I'm interested to see what Erica Kirk has to say. Now, Turning Point's Andrew Colvett did make a statement saying basically it was in poor taste and they're not happy at all about it. And, of course, Candace Owens posted it, I guess, on her podcast yesterday, and she was laughing and, you know, very happy that it was, you know, that it's out there. Because, of course, this is what she's been saying about Erica. I don't know. I look at when you're mocking and making fun of a widow, I guess for me, it comes down to personal morals and values. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And you know what? I will say I had the same thing. I think I told you guys this when I was running in the 7th District in 2020. And at that time, Maya Cummings, remember Elijah Cummings' widow, she was running. And even though they wanted everybody to debate it, to like really, you know, crank things up, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And this is a woman. I mean, I made videos in the 7th District showing that her husband really wasn't on top of the money coming out of Congress to deal with, you know, what happened after the Freddie Gray riots and beyond. And, of course, to show how awful it was. But I could not take jabs at her. I mean, she was running for an office and for a seat in which her late husband sat for close to 30 years. And I think I told you guys, it was so off-putting because we were at some debate forum. And, of course, you know, we were all there. There were lots of Democrats. You know, that seat was the race that they had, even just on the in the Democrat primary, was brutal. But Kwesi Fume showed up with Maya Cummings' sister-in-laws, both of Elijah Cummings' sisters. And they were in the back of the room. Of course, I didn't recognize them. I had no idea who they were. But you could tell that, you know, as the debate began, these women are in the back of the room just standing there. And you can tell that there was just, you know, it was like kind of a little tense in there. Well, anyways, and Fume stood up and he said, well, I have lots of support. I even have the support of the late Elijah Cummings' sisters. And they stood up and they waved and they said, he said, and those two women are voting for me. And he looks over at Maya Cummings and you can tell that she was mortified. Right. Here are these women. And we don't know what their personal relationship was like. I mean, these sisters could have probably hated her. Maybe they thought that she was, you know, some kind of gold digger or out for their brother because of what he had because she was so much younger. And a lot of times it's not true. Right. I can tell you, I had that said about me plenty of times. My ex-husband, 17 years my senior, and I heard time and time again that I was some gold digger and I didn't love him and blah, 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 blah. I heard it all the time. It wasn't true. I just honestly, guys my age, for me, are just dumb. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I know, I've always dated older guys. Always. Always. And so for me, it was like, oh, here we go. So when I saw the sisters there for Fume, it didn't surprise me. And I just know from personal experience that family members don't always love the spouse, right? But I thought that was so cruel and so rude. And I couldn't look at Kwesi and Fume the same after that. Even before that, we had some kind of like debate before that in Catonsville. And he told me, he said, hey, I think you have a good future ahead of you. Don't give up, blah, 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 blah. This is before the viral video. This is during the special election. And I was like, thank you, sir, da, da, da. You know, because I knew who he was. Obviously, he was a former congressman. And then after that debate where those two sisters were there and he said what he said and looked Maya Cummings right in her eyes, I thought, wow, that's a bad mamma jamma right there. I couldn't do it. I could not do that. I could not do that. You know, she's a widow and she's trying to put the pieces back together. Her life has just been turned upside down. I just, for the life of me, it was just so disrespectful. And then even the sisters to be there, I thought, this is gross. I don't even want to be a part of this. And yeah. I will never look at that the same. You know, and I told you guys, interesting enough, like this is how you know, this is like, you know, how the world works, right? Interesting enough, when we were shooting that campaign ad that went viral, Maya Cummings was driving down the street. We were in the Druid Hill area. And she pulls over the car. Now, meanwhile, she has gloves on and a mask because this is when COVID just got started, right? So I didn't even know who she was. She pulls over the car and she goes, hey, hey. And I thought maybe she recognized who I was from the special election and just wanted to say hi. So I walk over to the car and it was Maya Cummings. And she said, are you filming your campaign ad? I said, yeah. She said, you better beat him and beat him good. And then she drove off. And I'll never forget that. And it was, I mean, so random. Here we are outside. It's 106 degrees outside. I got my red dress, red high heels. And that was in the very first scene where we're walking across the street by that liquor store there. And then she just pulls over. Because I think I told you guys I was trying to beat traffic as we were doing that scene. And nobody was stopping. I mean, there were tractor trailers barreling towards us. It's like, every other shot, we were like, run! The editing they did on that video, I mean, those kids are good. Well, anyways, I just wanted to mention, when it comes to, and Bill, I agree with you, you know, there's a certain level of decorum you think that people would have, but we don't have it anymore. I guess I just hope, you know, Governor Moore being booed, I hope that was a wake-up call. I hope he understands what he's doing is terrible, and there's no way around it. He's a failure of a governor. He's a failure of an executive. And I, even if he was a Republican, I would be saying the same things. He's terrible. All right, we get back. I do want to read some of your text messages, and then we're going to go over the polling results here on the poll. And then I did want you to hear just a little bit from Savannah Guthrie, and Jesse Waters on Fox News was talking about it last night, because Nancy Guthrie is still missing. And as I thought before, I mean, I guess a lot of this is coming to light now that Savannah's speaking, but this investigation, it seems it was botched from the very beginning. Stay right there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
The excitement of Orioles season is here. Get updates, info, and commentary from Stan the Fan Charles, Glenn Clark, and others at PressBoxOnline.com.
Fired up, baby! We're fired up!
PressBox Sports, your source for Orioles, Ravens, college, and high school sports. Go to PressBoxOnline.com today.
Hey, you guys, listen up.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. Last year sold out fast. If you missed it, here's your chance. The second annual WCBM Pints and Politics, Thursday, April 23rd from 5 to 7 p.m. at Michael's Cafe and Timonium. I'll be hosting a live, unscripted fireside conversation with a special guest. No script, no spin. Just a straight conversation about what is really happening right now. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Tickets are just $25 and include light hors d'oeuvres and your WCBM pint glass. Seating is limited. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at WCBM.com, and I will see you there.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. We were getting into the question of the day. Of course, it's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. It's at WCBM.com. Were you surprised to hear booing at the Orioles game for Governor Wes Moore? Now, again, it's the question is, are you surprised? Not that he deserves it, but are you surprised? 96% say no, they were not surprised. Again, lots of people taking this poll. And 4% of you say yes, you were surprised. I'm in the minority here because I'm surprised. I am surprised. I am very surprised. I did not think that a very liberal Camden Yards, I didn't think they were going to boo him. And I just went back during the commercial break there to look at the video once again. And you see Brooke Learman try to chuckle a little bit. Wes Moore try to laugh it off. But Derek Davis, he was not laughing. He was not laughing. You could tell that he was like, wow, a little shocked there. I got a caller on the line, George in Pasadena. George, were you shocked that Wes Moore was booed yesterday?
Well, okay, so let me, this is what I told your call screener. I just came from the barber shop, and we were talking about that. And apparently, he seemed to indicate that a lot of people clapped when his name was mentioned. And he said some of the people that booed also clapped, so I'm a little perplexed at the reaction. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there. I didn't see it on TV. If it was even on there. So, anyhow.
Yeah. Well, George, I can tell you. Now, I was there, but I was in the hot dog line. Shame on me. But from the videos that I've seen, and some of them are close up, you know, you can hear audio pretty well. There were claps in there, of course, but the boos were much louder than the applause.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I didn't tell this to your call screener. I was watching my email, and in Annapolis, they're going to have a thing where they're going to interview, apparently there's 6 people running on the Republican side. So, man, that's That's going to kind of dilute the...
Okay, so you must be talking about the Baltimore County debate that's going to be coming up, or the one that we had last night in Annapolis.
No, there's one going to be in Annapolis. Maybe it's already happened.
Yeah, so last night, it was well-attended, George. We had 336 people showed up, and we had five candidates that showed up. They were all invited, but five showed up. It was a very, right. It was well done. It was a great debate. We have some great contenders for sure. But I see what you're getting at. You know, whoever the nominee has to be or is going to be, they're going to have to get behind the candidate, the nominee, him or herself. And we're right. going to have to push voter turnout. Or, Wes Moore will be reelected for sure.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of ignorant. Is there a... Do you think there's a clear front runner?
Well, so from the polling that we've done here at WCBM, and then what I see is the polling on Facebook, I would say Ed Hale Sr. is probably in the lead at this point. But close behind him would be John Myrick and Dan Cox. But okay. It's still very early in the game, right? We're not even in April yet.
One other thing, and I'll end, because it just came to me. I was in church Sunday night, and we listened to a preacher, and he deals with political things. But he said in California, they have their primary is they call it a jungle primary, and the two top contenders, which are going to face the runoff, are Republican governors. So you're going to have a Republican governor in California. I don't know if anybody knows that or not.
Yeah, most likely. And you know what? And I looked at those candidates there, George. I mean, I would say they're more independent than Republican, but it's California, okay. Right? But anything's better than a progressive.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
No, George, thank you for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. And yeah, George is right. They do. They do the jungle primary there in California. It's a bit different. That actually might work better here in Maryland, but I don't know if they'll ever do it. But, I believe the last name is Hinton. Steve Hinton, I think, is in the lead there in California for that gubernatorial race. And he is a registered Republican. But on the social issues, if you look at his platform, I would consider him almost a Democrat with the social issues. But, you know, it's California. So what are you going to do? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Like I said, you know, there in California, you don't have any pro-life candidates. You don't have, I mean, it's really, even when it comes to the Second Amendment, they're kind of wishy-washy on it. All right. But, George, thank you so much for calling in. So let's see. Like I said, I'm in the minority here. I was surprised that Wes Moore was booed. I'm glad that, people have gotten the message out even to me. That there's a chance. What's that one movie? So you're saying there's a chance with Jim Carrey? Is that Dumb and Dumber? Oh, well, I was right. Look at that. Brian, the producer, said confirm. Okay, well, when we get back, I do want to talk a little bit about Savannah Guthrie, but I also want to talk about the Senate package on Capitol Hill.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he'll need to meet with fellow Republicans to determine the best way to proceed. The Senate has approved Department of Homeland Security funds for the TSA and most other agencies, but not for immigration operations. The measure is a potential endgame to the 42-day shutdown that has jammed airports, disrupted travel, and made it hard for workers going without paychecks. The House Ethics Committee has found Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Sherfalus McCormick of Florida committed numerous violations of House rules and ethics standards. It's a ruling that could add weight to Republicans' push to expel her from Congress. Israel launched a new wave of strikes and says that its attacks on Iran are going to only escalate and expand. Stocks continue trading lower. The NASDAQ is down 230 points. SRN News.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County.
The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Hope you like Hell's Bells, because you may be hearing a lot of it at Camden Yards. Unleash Helsley, and they win on opening day again. It's just what they do. Kevin Brown with the call on Masson as new closer Ryan Helsley strikes out the side in the ninth. A resounding finish to a 2-1 opening day win for the Birds. Post-game reaction from manager Craig Albernaz.
A little different juice here. I think he popped at, it was a 102, it was a 101.9 with like 20 inches of vert. It's a pretty good fastball. But yeah, that was the best we've seen. We've seen Hels. He threw some really good splits too, so he's right where he needs to be.
Helsley saving the win for Trevor Rogers, who continued right where he left off in 2025. 7 innings of shutout ball, 3 hits, 4 walks. The Birds are off today. Kyle Bradish takes the hill tomorrow at 4:05. Against Minnesota. NFL news, someone please tell Tom Brady to stop. The 49-year-old Fox broadcaster and Raiders minority owner telling CNBC yesterday that he inquired with the league about returning to the field. An NFL spokesperson said if Brady were to pursue a return to the league, he would first need to divest his ownership stake in the Raiders. And finally, a top 10 showdown today in Baltimore. Number 3 Maryland women's lacrosse heads to Homewood Field for a top 10 matchup at number 8 Johns Hopkins. The Terps are 27-0 all-time against the Blue Jays. Coming up in 30 minutes, one down, 161 to go. And that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a rainy and cooler day ahead of us. Rain showers on and off throughout the day with temperatures falling through the 40s. Tonight turns drier but even colder with lows falling to near freezing. The weekend starts off with sunshine on Saturday, blustery and much cooler with temperatures stuck in the mid and upper 40s. The second half of the weekend on Sunday, more sunshine with highs back in the milder upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
File now with TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They'll find every credit and deduction. Or your money back. File in the Credit Karma app.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, from Oreo Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, I'll read your text messages in just a second here. I wanted to say, I saw the breaking news. Did you guys see this? A Secret Service agent escorting Dr. Jill Biden to the Philadelphia airport accidentally shot himself. Yeah, as you need that delay. Of course, the jokes are writing themselves on X. People are like, dude, why did he just call out sick? It can't be that bad. It's not funny. It's not funny. But just so you know, he's going to be all right. I guess it was just an accident. Not sure how you do that as a Secret Service agent, but I guess anything can happen. In case you missed it, we did have the question of the day, and that is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. You're surprised to hear booing at the Orioles game for Governor Wes Moore. 96% of you were not surprised. I was actually surprised. I got a caller here that does want to weigh in, our friend William in Kearney. Hey, William.
Yes, about Wes Moore. Hey, at least we're not like Antiva. We boo, but we don't kill nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is true. That's true.
Yeah, because Wes Moore, everything he ever says and everything he glamors, man. He's like a GQ guy, right? And he always has a Pizzarotti around him. But he never does anything. He talks a good game and lies like hell, but never shows anything. Look at our bridge. Look at this. Look at this. Look at that. You know what I mean, Kim?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I can understand the other gentleman calling in and the way his background of military was. I can respect that. But as a citizen and never was in the military, I'll let the military take care of him. But as a citizen of this state, he's worthless.
No, William, I agree with you. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend. He is. He truly is. And he's got no accomplishments whatsoever. I do have a lot of text here that I want to make sure I read. I appreciate you guys tuning in every Monday through Friday, by the way, to Kim Klasick Live. I know you have options. The fact that you're here for the midday show, it does mean a lot to me. I hope you guys know that. And it was nice meeting so many of you at Camden Yards and even at the debate in Annapolis last night. I do appreciate you. A few texts here. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. I have to go back. Uh-oh. Here we go. All right. I got a text here from Harriet. She says, my BG&E went up $100 this month. I'm on a budget. I'm on budget billing. These crooks have got to be dealt with. More resources or more sources of electricity have to be opened and reopened in Maryland. The clown Wes Moore will never do that. I am putting my voice behind Ed Hale. He seems the best candidate to win. Make sure your listeners understand that this isn't about principle. It's about being conservative. It's all about winning. Yeah, Harriet, I mean, it's something else has got to give. And I do see Ed Hale. He is getting a lot of support on Facebook. Whoever's running his social media is doing a great job because his videos are everywhere. And he's getting a lot of support on Facebook from even Democrats. Let's see. Candy says, Kim, it's Steve Hilton in California. And he used to have a show on Fox for a while. Oh, so that's the Steve Hilton. Okay, thank you so much. And Tom says the same thing. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I don't know if I would consider him a conservative. You know what I mean? I would say, I would say independent from what I've read about him so far on his platform. But I could be wrong. Another texter says, people want to be heard, and King Westmore made himself available for comment. Yeah, you know what? Great point there, texter, because he doesn't like to put himself in a spot where people can actually talk to him or ask him questions about what he's doing. And we saw that even, you know, this past week when he was in Washington County opposing the ICE facility, even though they voted in Washington County to welcome the ICE facility. And the protesters, those that were even on his side, remember, they were upset because they were not allowed to enter the town hall. Like, why would you even call it, like, you know, a round table or anything like that if you weren't going to have, you know, people from the community in there? But Texter, you're right. If you don't make yourself available to speak to, and you want to walk around like you're some kind of king and you're untouchable, then yeah, I guess you will get booed at a major sporting event. I can understand that. Thank you for putting that in perspective there. Chris says, Kim, I loved hearing the Maryland people boo the blank out of Wes Moore. Just wish that Brandon Scott was there to also get booed. That would have been spectacular. Yeah, yeah, Chris. That would have been great. That would have been great. All right. And then Rachel here weighed in. She says, Governor Moore is so in love with himself, he probably thought the boos were something else. You know what, Rachel? Many people have wondered as well. But I will say, his reaction told me that he knew that he was being booed. Because he was trying so hard to laugh it off. But you could tell he was shocked. His face was like he was shocked. But then he also, you know, I think was trying to act as though it didn't bother him. It was definitely loud enough for him to get the message. Now, what he does moving forward, I don't know. We shall see. I did, like I said, I mentioned earlier about Jill Biden's Secret Service agent accidentally shooting himself at the Philadelphia airport. Again, he's fine. But I also wanted to note BWI. I don't know if you guys saw the videos out of BWI this morning. Lines around even from inside the building through all the way through to the parking lot and the parking garage across the street. lines. So they said most of these people were lined up for spring break, obviously. And BWI does have another notice that went out in case you guys are traveling today. They said you're definitely going to have to get there 3 to 3.5 hours early if you plan to make your flight. So I just wanted to mention that on the show. If you're flying out today, going wherever you're going, if you're flying out of BWI, you're going to have to get there very, very early. Because the lines are long. Also, not sure if you saw yesterday at the JFK airport, an ICE agent saved a choking baby. Yes. Now, this one was a very close call, in case you missed it. There was a kid choking. They didn't say on what. But the father was, you know, I guess trying to pat his back, trying to, you know, whatever was obstructing his lungs. He was trying to get it out. Couldn't do it. ICE agent runs over. Apparently, this kid wasn't getting air for close to 2 minutes. Oh, could you? Oh, I couldn't imagine the scene. Finally, whatever is obstructing his airway, it was released. And the kid started coughing and crying. A small toddler. And so he's going to be all right. But thank goodness, you know what? People are now saying maybe the ICE agent should be there. I don't know. All right. I also wanted to get down to some of the details here with Savannah Guthrie talking about her mother, Nancy. I know many of you are tired of hearing about this. And people, you know, in the very beginning, and I understand it. They said, well, if she wasn't famous or her daughter wasn't famous, we wouldn't be talking about it. And I get that. But this case has been very strange from the very beginning. And I think many of us were talking about it over and over again because we knew that it was most likely botched from the very beginning. Well, Jesse Waters, he was talking last night on his show about Savannah Guthrie's sit-down with the Today Show. Take a listen.
Fox News alert, police are still on the hunt for Nancy Guthrie. No leads, no suspect, and no idea where she is. There hasn't been a press conference in almost 2 months. So now Savannah's stepping in. She returned to the Today Show and spilled new details about the case. Listen.
We thought that she must have had like some kind of medical episode in the night and that somehow, you know, the paramedics had come because the back doors were propped open, you know, and that didn't make any sense.
Wait, so when the family got to the house, the back door was open? Why didn't the cops tell us that? Savannah's brother's a military guy, and the moment he heard mom was missing, he knew what it was.
He saw very clearly right away what this was.
Yeah.
And even on the phone, when I called him, he knew.
He knew.
And he said, I think she's been kidnapped for ransom.
The brother should be leading the case instead of the sheriff. The Guthries were dealing with a lot. Like figuring out if all the ransom notes were real or not.
There are a lot of different notes, I think, that came. And I think most of them, it's my understanding, are not real. The two notes that we received, that we responded to, I tend to believe those are real.
All right. So that was Savannah Guthrie sitting down with the Today Show. And then the other commentary there was Jesse Waters on his show last night on Fox News. And Jesse makes some very important comments there. The back door being open. For a long time now, we assumed that this person, whoever grabbed Nancy, came into the front door, because that's what we saw on the cameras, right? With the front door video that they pieced together. And then we also were told Nancy Guthrie's blood, if you remember, there's photos out there, was on the front porch. You guys remember that? Nancy's blood is on the front porch. We knew that within the first week. And then we saw the videos that they pieced together using AI of the person on the front porch in front of that front door camera. No one ever mentioned the back door. The back door was never mentioned. Okay? Had the neighbors known that, perhaps they could have taken some footage that they might have had at their home or done something about it. This was never made public. Now, I do understand that where they are is kind of in the middle of nowhere, but there are a few houses not too far from there. So there could have been camera footage from the back entrance. We don't know. This is why I was so shocked that they could not find the camera on the roof that was thrown up there by the kidnappers or abductors, whatever you want to call them. They didn't find that until the FBI got to town 2 weeks after. You didn't check the roof? Nobody, what, with all the helicopters and the planes, all the, that aerial view and the shots there, nobody saw a camera on the roof? Interesting. Now, another piece of that, if you heard, Savannah Guthrie, they wanted to offer big bucks in the very beginning. And many of us were questioning, many of you guys called in, why hasn't Savannah offered a lot of money if there are ransom notes? If you heard there, the sheriff told her not to. The sheriff told her not to. So when we saw that video, remember the video Savannah and her brother and sister put out? Maybe like a week afterwards, and they were crying and everything. They were sitting together. I would think that that's probably when they most likely wanted to offer the $1 million reward. But the sheriff told them not to do it. Why would the sheriff do such a thing? See, this is, and this is what the FBI has been saying. Cash Patel somewhat said this too. He said they got on the scene. Remember, they weren't trying to even share all the information they had with the FBI. Like, you know what? This is our investigation. We've got this. Well, I don't know a whole lot. I watch a lot of crime shows. I watch the ID channel every now and again, right? 48 hours, you know, stuff like that. But from what I hear on every one of those shows with their experts, they always say the first 48 hours is the most crucial, right? And that's where you're really going to have to try to find that individual that was taken. It's a shame, but they've already said that this is most likely just, it's a recovery mission. And it has been for quite some time. Remember, Nancy Guthrie, she needed a certain kind type of medication to survive that she didn't have with her. But I thought the back door thing was interesting because all of this time we were thinking about the front door cameras and the blood from Nancy Guthrie. They confirmed it was Nancy's blood on the front porch. Boy, oh boy. I know Savannah has got to be heartbroken. As you heard there, she said that she blames herself for being rich and famous. And she thinks that's why Nancy was taken. I hope they find her. I do. And I hope they find out who did it. And Savannah, in that report, just so you know, that Today Show interview, she talked about how heartbroken they were to hear people blaming members of the family. Because remember, everybody thought it was the sister's husband because he was like so odd. Sometimes you forget some people are just socially awkward and odd in general. And I think people took his movements, the, you know, how quiet he was, the way that he would look at the cameras. He probably most likely is just socially awkward. But people took that as he had something to hide. You know what? Speaking of which, I think Erica Kirk could be somewhat socially awkward. I know I'm just throwing this out of nowhere, but I do. Because, you know, when I go back and I look at, you know, some of the videos and some people saying, oh, she looks like she's weird here, or she does this or she does that. She could be socially awkward. She could be somewhat shy. I mean, look, she did pageants and all these things and she walked around with Charlie Kirk, but that doesn't mean she's absolutely comfortable in front of cameras and large crowds. I don't know. I think about that sometimes too. When I, you know, because sometimes I can see it. I can see where people are really uncomfortable. And you can see it. You guys can see it, right? Their body language is a little off. But, you know, it's not, you know, it's not that they're actually weird. They're just awkward or shy. And that's fine. There's lots of people like that. I would say out of everybody that I meet, honestly, especially like in the political arena, the political world, I would say one out of three people that I meet are socially awkward. And that's fine. And you just know this. And, you know, that's why you know, you can't be judgmental like that. You know, let people be who they are. All right. I did want to note the Senate, in case you missed it, overnight at 2:20 a.m., they did end up passing a package. Here's the latest. This is posted 4 hours ago. The U.S. Senate has passed a bill funding most of DHS following President Trump's executive order to pay TSA workers using other funds. And that was in the Big Beautiful Bill, by the way. However, ICE and CBP are not funded. And of course, people are very upset that the Democrats might get away with this. We'll see what happens next on this. Of course, they were trying to get something out of the door because they don't want to be there this weekend. You know what? This is how they are. This is how they are. Many people said that they were going to do something by Thursday because by Friday, they want to go home. That's how important this is to them. That's how important. You got TSA workers haven't been paid since February 14th. They're sitting around, you know, all these different speeches and, oh, no, we're not going to give in and we don't want to do this and blah, 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 all this grandstanding. Meanwhile, people are having a hard time putting food on the table and they're saying, all right, let's go ahead and pass something because I want to go home this weekend. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. These are the people in charge. Ay, ay, ay. We'll see what happens. But you know what? Senator Thune, talk about a disappointment. I don't know who's in his primary and when his seat's back up for re-election. Somebody might want to get on top of that or at least remove him from, you know, the leadership position there. Because I don't think Mitch McConnell would have done this. I don't think Mitch McConnell would have done this. I think he has a little more respect than this, even though he was having a hard time. I will also say, and I know you guys don't want to hear it, when it comes to this DHS funding and everything even going on in the House, I think Kevin McCarthy would have done a better job trying to get this across without, you know, taking out any kind of funding. And he would have been working in the Senate with senators because he's very popular over there in the Senate, even though he was in the House. And I think he would have got it done to our liking. I know you don't want to hear that, some of you, but that's how I feel. And so now you've got Senator Thune and you got Speaker Mike Johnson, and I don't think either one of them have any clout. I don't think either one of them carry any weight, and I don't think senators care. And here we are. Here we are. All right, coming up next, I just wanted to give you guys a couple highlights that I saw coming out of CPAC. Stay right there. Did you know Town Appliance in Owings Mills is the best place for offering anything you want or need in appliances? Their showroom is so big, it's filled with so many different appliances you can only imagine, from basic all you need to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JennAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag. They have 70, yes, 70 brands to choose from. And in my experience with Mayor, he is absolutely wonderful and so helpful and happy to answer any of your questions, whether you are browsing or buying. And right now, Town Appliance is having their 47th anniversary event, along with flexible financing options, which we need in this economy. So it's a great time to stop in. Don't forget to check out their website, townappliance.com, and look for their banner for their anniversary giveaway. It's a beautiful coffee machine. Good luck to all of you.
Now, here's the Mangione Minute.
Citizens are rightly concerned by the lack of financial oversight in Maryland. The money governments use comes from the taxpayers. Every level of government, local, state, and federal, needs independent oversight to provide accountability for the use of public funds. Yet, Governor Moore, Brandon Scott, and Kathy Klausmeier continue to fight for limitations on the independence of inspector generals. The Maryland General Assembly refuses to authorize an empowered inspector general to review Baltimore County's school spending. This is wrong. Taxpayers deserve accountability and independent oversight. The Democrats are wrong in their approach to transparency, and this needs to change now. Government works best when it's accountable, transparent, and mindful that taxpayers provide the money to operate. This is a message the Democrats refuse to learn, and it is a disservice to Maryland.
Listen for the Mangione Minute every week on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
If you've been hurt because someone else was careless, you deserve answers and, of course, compensation. I'm JB the Ouch Guy, and with me, you pay nothing unless we win your case. No upfront fees, no risk, just results. Call 877-OUCH-911 today. Ouch Guy is on your side. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show. Friday on the show, with 2028 3 years ahead, Hillary Clinton scheduled a trip to New Hampshire. Did anyone else just throw up in their mouth a little? Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Segment of Kid Classic Live on Friday, but don't go anywhere because Rob Carson's coming up next. Now, text here from Michael. Michael said, why did the Guthries make sure they have the alarm system, and why did Savannah and her siblings do a search party? Michael, I asked that in the very beginning, and then they told me, and I say they, you know, the Facebook investigators, they told me that they don't do a search party when there's a ransom note. Because then they're abducted, they're not, like, missing, they're with the abductors. And I said, oh. I thought the same thing, but then they were making a lot of sense. So I said, all right, forget about it. I don't care. We'll see what happens. But I do feel as though that they botched this from the very beginning. And I feel bad for Savannah and her family. Because it sounds like they had like the D squad on this thing. And it might have put Nancy in a situation where she could have been rescued while alive, but I just doubt that happens at this point. We'll see what happens. We'll say some prayers. I did want to just go over the highlights here. By the way, Bernie Flowers is going to join me on Monday in studio, and he was also there last night at the debate in Annapolis. So we'll get his thoughts on who he believed won that gubernatorial debate and his thoughts on what he thinks could actually beat Wes Moore. I also want to see, because he's running for the 3rd Congressional District, I would love to know who he would like to see at the top of the ticket. Because, down ballot candidates, they're wondering, just like anybody else, who's going to be the gubernatorial nominee. Because that's going to either spark a lot of, it'll spark a lot of interest amongst Republican voters, and people will come out, there'll be a high turnout, or people will just throw their hands up and say, they can't beat Wes. And they're not going to come out and vote. And so down ballot candidates, they're on pins and needles. Alex, I did get your text. I'm sorry you didn't make it last night. But if you go to the Baltimore Sun's Facebook page, I think they were streaming the debate in Annapolis live. And you could catch it. You can catch it there, I believe. And then what I will do right after we get off the show here, I will try to find a link and share it on my Facebook page. All right. I did want to note, CPAC right now is going on in Dallas, Texas. There was a standing ovation for Nick Shirley. He's the one that's been uncovering fraud in Minnesota and other places. And so people are very excited to see him down there. I did see that there was a lower turnout this year, and it looks like there's a lower turnout every year. And I would say some of that is because TPUSA, the Turning Point events, they really flood the market. And they have an event. CPAC's once a year. Turning Point has like 6 events a year. And so, lots of people go to Turning Point events, and then I don't think they always get to CPAC. Now, Betty Johnson did call out those that are tearing apart MAGA on social media, which would be Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and others. I'm actually done with seeing all those social media fighting, but it's still a big topic of discussion online. And then also Steve Bannon did get a reality check. I saw that yesterday. In their little orbit on X, they believe that many Republicans don't like the fact that we are in this war with Iran. And I've said plenty of times before, you are wrong. And I've said this on X over and over again. The majority of those in the MAGA movement, they do appreciate what's going on in Iran. Just on X, you have opposing voices that are very loud. So Steve Bannon did a poll at CPAC yesterday, and they all said that they really appreciate President Trump and what he's doing in Iran. And Steve Bannon had to eat crow there live on the network. Well, anyways, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Brian, the producer, as always, thank you for a great show. And to all of you, stay safe this weekend. And I'll talk to all of you on Monday at 9 a.m.
Sean Casey with Vinny Steo, CEO of Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Welcome back, Vinny. 23 years in the business, 9 years right here on WCBM with your guarantees and results. Friends, when you plan to sell your home, choose the one I trust, Vinny Steo.
Sean, I really appreciate that. This year is going to be very exciting for a lot of reasons. The real estate market is moving quickly, especially for our sellers. In fact, I recently met with a family planning to retire, downsize, and make the most money when they sell later this year. And it was a good move. They called me in advance so we could work on some simple tips to get them top dollar. And they were thrilled with the stress-free plan and certainty they get with my upfront written guarantee. If I can't sell their home, I'll buy it myself at a price and time frame agreeable to them.
So I'll say it again. Choose Vinny Steo. You'll be glad you did. Call or text Vinny right now at 410-709-7515. That's 410-709-7515 or visit vinnysteo.com.
This is the right choice for Maryland.